Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Lieutenant General Mark Milley, commanding general of Fort Hood, told our reporters, Zachary Jackson and Kit Daniels, last night during the press conference that the reported Fort Hood shooter who killed three people and then himself, injuring 16 others, was on psychotropic drugs, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not tooting our horn. I'm pointing out that the mainstream corporate whore media was not asking those questions. Our reporters drove the hour and a half to the base command from Austin, Texas, in Fort Hood, the largest Army base in the world, and asked the real questions. We're going to air that press conference or clips of it coming up, but we're also going to have extended clips of it coming up later in the broadcast. Former Congressman Ron Paul will also be joining us today to talk about a host of issues, from the economy to what's happening with the new Cold War with Russia. So he'll be on with us in the first 20 minutes of the second hour today. But I've got to say that I came out of NOAA last night, which is a pretty good science fiction movie, and to a certain extent biblically based. I'm not saying it's all accurate, but if you actually read the Bible, it's got fallen angels giving man technology and breeding with women and genetic engineering and kind of an Atlantis story. And so if you believe the Bible, it's some pretty heavy stuff. The mainline preachers in the last 200 years that can't deal with it will tell you all that that's a false interpretation of it. The Nephilim coming down to Earth, the giants having sex with the women, destroying the genetics. In the movie NOAA, though, it's clearly a eugenics depopulation propaganda film overall. It has some positive aspects. I'll give my review later in the third hour. I want to write some notes and kind of think about it. But if you read Genesis, that is a story of God destroying the human life on Earth because of evil and because of genetic pollution breeding with fallen angels. Now, that's clearly what the Bible says. And again, your mainline preachers can't deal with it. And so they want to keep everybody basically away from that information. But that's basically where this film goes. It's kind of like Prometheus meets the Bible. And see, what's happening is the elites are now looking at all the genetic codes, and the scientists are. And a lot of them that were atheists are freaking out and going public saying, okay, we were clearly designed. There is a creator. And so they want to rebel against Christianity that's been proven accurate, the real Christianity, and of course Judaism that it came out of, and those accurate records that were kept by the scribes that passed on the information. They don't want to admit that's right, so they basically say, okay, space aliens created us. But regardless, the point is it's the question of our age. And it is a story of depopulation, but because the genetics had been destroyed. And you now see the attack by the globalists today trying to change human genetics irrevocably with the GMO that actually changed our genetics on record. And then you realize, oh my gosh, this is the same story repeating, but God won't destroy the earth this time with water, but with fire. And then you realize these aren't just allegories. You realize this isn't just stuff people made up. You realize this is repeating itself. It's incredible. It's incredible. And every ancient culture has the same flood story from the same period. So we're going to be talking about that some in the third hour. Again, I'm not endorsing the film. I think the people that made it were trying to be good. But, I mean, you know, it was like Kane is like an Alex Jones character who's pro-human. It's got some serious problems. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back on the other side. But I think we all do have a twist of Kane in us, don't we? We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side. We've got the incredible video and audio of our reporters at Fort Hood. Psychotropics yet again.
InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
At military bases like Fort Hood, Texas, and other installations around the country, there was a nationwide manhunt for a former Army soldier they believed was preparing to carry out a jihad mass shooting attack at military bases. They weren't sure where. Then, someone reportedly on psychotropic drugs and under psychiatric care, as well as Ambien, on its own insert, saying it can cause psychotic breaks, sleepwalking murder, you name it. We now learn that he killed himself and three others, injuring 16. And we have the suspect's name and information. Lieutenant General Mark Milley, the commander, the three-star general over Fort Hood, Texas military base, was being asked the classic softball questions by the corporate prostitute, lapdog, sycophant media. But as soon as the shooting began and was in the news, Ja'Kari Jackson and Kit Daniels, two of our InfoWars.com reporters, got in a car and drove the hour and a half to Fort Hood and were at the press conference and were the reporters that asked about was he on drugs and how long did it take for the police to respond. And the word is 10 to 15 minutes. They're going back and forth because it is a huge base. I mean, it's the biggest military base in the world. It's about six times the size of Dallas, Texas, conservatively. And so they had to respond, and it took them a while to get there. Where he was shooting people up in a personal dispute, reportedly. And the general says he doesn't think people should be able to have concealed carry on the base. They quote, law enforcement should have that. So you got soldiers that are trained to kill people and break things, but they can't have guns when they're on the base in their own private homes. You got to lock them up in the armory, even in the bases that allow that. That's outrageous. So people can be victims in a victim disarmament zone just like the Naval Yard. And remember the Naval Yard? They fought to keep it secret that he was on a bunch of psychiatric drugs and had been in psychiatric care. And the police had been called not once, not twice, but three times to hotels where he said the government was mind-controlling him. Now, normally I'd say that's just a schizophrenic or somebody on these drugs that makes you crazy. The problem was he was in classified areas with DARPA, with ELF mind control type systems, and then showed up with his shotgun that said my ELF weapon on it, reportedly shooting people. And they had a drill there 2 days before. So very, 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 very suspicious. Ja'Kari Jackson and Kit Daniels are going to be in studio. They were up till about 4 in the morning getting their video report, coming back to Austin, getting their video report filed. Ja'Kari's coming in. Kit's already here. I don't even expect him to come in, but if he gets in, we're going to have him in here at the bottom of the hour. So great job to our reporters on that. Let me go over what we know right now that I'm going to air part of this press conference. We'll have more of that on the nightly news tonight, where our reporters asked all the real questions. And when the general says, no, he doesn't think anybody should have concealed carry on base, even off duty, Kit goes, so it takes 15 minutes for the police to get there, but still no one should be allowed to be armed in a barracks. And I think, you know, their concern is you'll get younger recruits and people that'll get in fights and shoot each other. Well, that's going to happen anyways. People are going to get a gun with a bunch of trained killers who've been serving five, six, seven tours. Look at Sergeant Bales, who climbed over the wire and killed 18 people, torturing children, burning them to death. Turned out he was on multiple psychotropics, didn't know what planet he was on. A few years ago, they're trying the guy right now. They had a guy walk around with a gun, didn't know who he was, like a zombie, in a Walmart. The cop walks around the corner and says, drop the gun. And the guy just ignores him, walking like a zombie. I would immediately, if I was a cop, go around the corner. And then, you know, shoot the person or whatever from concealment. Cop didn't do that, got shot. But the point is, it's too bad he got killed. I'm not making any judgment there. I said then, he will be on psychotropics, probably Ambien, because nothing is as bad as Ambien. And again, I'm not saying it's okay what Sergeant Bales did or the guy in Austin, Texas, or all those other cases. But the point is, they might as well be on PCP, folks. And if you kill somebody on PCP, you end up getting manslaughter. You don't get murder or murder one, premeditated, because you don't know what planet you're on. And that's the issue. We're putting people that have served 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 tours in some cases that no military's ever done in history. I grew up around a lot of World War II vets that served 2 tours and were all screwed up to a certain extent. They were all really nice, but the type of people that would, if you messed with them, they'd kill you. And the police even back then knew pulling over old vets and stuff is incredibly dangerous. People that have just served a couple tours because they just are not going to be pushed around. And that's the issue. You put people in hardcore stress in combat, they're going to get what they call PTSD. And you keep them in combat, you put them on these drugs, and this is a way to discredit the military, folks. They're now going to put them all on drugs, monitor them all, take all the military personnel's rights away, out of hand, give them, quote, anti-stress vaccines. They're announcing that literally destroy parts of the brain associated with aggression, but also with endorphins and enjoyment and religious experiences. This is how, you know, they come in and federalize the media and have it tell lies for decades and discredit it. It implodes. They come out with pure state-run media after that, run by the government completely. They militarize and federalize the police. Then the police act like, you know, murderers. The feds come in and fully federalize when they've trained them how to act like that. And it's the same thing with the drugging. And the average military people I know in the Marines or the Army have served 5 tours in combat. I have family that has served over 20 tours, 30 years in the U.S. Army, 20 tours in combat in Africa and South America and Central America and Asia and in the Dominican Republic and in the Middle East and Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, there's a bunch of people. I got cousins that are 50 years old, folks, 51. I mean, that have been in 20 combat tours, 20. I was just thinking, what do you mean 10 tours? I was on the plane back from Las Vegas taping TV shows with Ventura a few years ago, and there was a senior non-commissioned officer going to take a guy that got killed by an IED, an Air Force MP. He was an Air Force MP. And we got there. The cops were all there with the draped coffin and the big parade and everything out to Fort Hood. But the point was, is I talked to him for 3 hours flying back from Vegas, and he had been in... Since 9/11, and that was 2 years ago, he'd been in 8 combat tours with only basically 1 year off himself, being IED'd and shot at all over the world. You know, the point is he was pretty normal and pretty nice. The issue is most people would be completely screwed up from that. And that's what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is my cousin who's been in 20 combat tours. Because I asked him, I said, how many? Oh, about 20 of those 30 years have been combat tours. I mean, that's just unheard of, folks. Roman centurions didn't go for more than 10 years. And by the 10th year, you can read the history, they were, most of them, complete murdering maniacs. I mean, if you didn't follow discipline in the Roman centurions, they would get around and kill you just right there at the base. This is a total abuse of the American people and of the American volunteer military, and it's being done to ruin it and wreck it like a car you never change the shocks on, you never change the oil on. It's so evil. And then they put them on drugs that the inserts say will make you into a homicidal murdering killer. Let's go to part of the press conference with our reporters. This is up on Infowars.com. Army admits Fort Hood shooter was on psychotropic drugs. Was on psychiatric drugs.
How much indication do you have about premeditation here? Was there anything tied to the timing of it? Was there something going on in this building?
I do not know, and that'll be part of the investigation. I did not say his rank nor his name, and I'll do that when his family is appropriately notified.
Sir, you said he came from another installation in February. Can you tell us which one that is?
At this time, I prefer not. He was undergoing behavioral health and psychiatric treatment for depression and anxiety. There are reports, I don't know if he was diagnosed in the clinical sense, there are reports that he self-reported a traumatic brain injury previously coming back from the Iraq.
Was he on any sort of medications?
He was on medications, that's correct.
Like SSRIs or antidepressants, anything of that nature?
Yes.
Was the FBI already on the scene due to the alert that they gave out about on Monday regarding a possible mass shooting?
We have a local FBI liaison officer.
Okay.
But no, large FBI, assets were not here.
Okay.
They are actually inbound to help with the investigation. All of the wounded and killed were military.
General, the female officer who engaged him, how would you describe what she did today?
So it's clearly heroic what she did at that moment in time, and she did her job, and she did exactly what we would expect of a United States Army military police.
What are your thoughts on soldiers carrying concealed weapons on base?
You're not allowed to carry concealed weapons.
Do you think that should change?
No, I don't think soldiers should have concealed weapons on base. We have law enforcement agents. We're trained professionals, and I don't endorse carrying.
How long did it take for the law enforcement to reach the scene?
It was within minutes.
Within minutes.
Exact time, probably 10 to 15, maybe.
So you're saying that we should have concealed weapons, but it still takes 10 to 15 minutes for law enforcement to even reach the scene? What's your comments on that?
I think the law enforcement acted very rapidly and swiftly, given the nature of this circumstance.
But I understand that, but there's still people that have died.
I'm not going to get in a debate with you on carrying weapons on a military installation. I just ask for all your thoughts and prayers for the fallen and for the wounded in this particular case. Thank you very much.
General, I know an open holiday here.
All right, this is video of our reporters walking around.
The FBI saying that there was a terror alert on Monday about a potential Fort Hood shooting, potential Fort Hood situation.
There's no link that we know of to that particular case.
Well, we're going to come back and play that last part again. That's Sha'Carri Jackson going up and following the general to his car like a real reporter.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
You go to drudgereport.com. It's got the most complete coverage of what's really going on at Fort Hood. War comes home, another shooting at Fort Hood. Update, 4 dead, including gunman. ID'd as Ivan Lopez. Mental health issues, was being treated. Depression, anxiety, prescribed Ambien, bare minimum. Connection between violence and SSRIs medication emerges yet again. Facebook page tribute to heavy metal band. GOP rep, troops should be armed on base. I agree with that. At least people that have been in a few years. I mean, they could have a test you take or, some type of certification and then just maybe get 10% of them armed at least. I don't know about brand new people at boot camp with guns. You don't want that. You get a full metal jacket type scenario. And that stuff happens. GOP rep, troops should be armed on base. Epidemic, at least 22 veterans commit suicide each day. That's over 7 times any previous record after the Vietnam War in 1975. It is total stress disorder, and they're using it to demonize all vets, including the victims of being put in there. And people say, oh, well, you volunteered. And clearly, some people get in the military and get addicted to the culture, and it's all they know, and they stay in. And some people can handle it, like my cousin. But most people cannot handle 4, 5, 6 combat tours. You certainly can't handle 10 or 20. I mean, that's literally over-the-top cartoon book level. But that's the type of stuff that's going on. And, a lot of the reason we had 1776 was because of the French and Indian War that killed hundreds of thousands and was a vicious guerrilla war with the colonies against the French and large groups of natives. And that's why when the British regulars, who a lot of them were snot noses and hadn't been in a lot of combat, came into the colony, started pushing the veterans around, 1776 happened. And I'm telling you, this Homeland Security demonization of the military, after abusing them and after putting them through all this, and now they're moving to take their pension funds and stuff like that, that's why the Pentagon says the number one threat and the Homeland Security is the vets, because you're starting a fight with them. This has happened over and over again in history. And it's not going to end well unless the system backs off right now. All these crazy people like Joe Biden with no connection to reality, all these con artists, all these PR firms, your BS is going to end. Your Obamacare, all of it. You fools run the country. You're in power already. Why do you have an instinct to gut anyone who's honorable? Because you have a criminal instinct to hurt good guys. You have a criminal instinct to eradicate anything decent when it's the decent system of checks and balances that has allowed you to even exist. Now, you heard Jakari Jackson and Kit Daniels are coming in the next segment. Ask the real questions. Was he under psychotropic drugs? Was he on issued drugs? Yes was the answer. Drugs. That article's up on drudgereport.com, red-linked. Connection between violence and SSRIs medication emerges yet again. Infowars.com, exclusive. And again, I'm not tooting our horn. Why didn't the hundreds, it looks like over 100 reporters when you see wide shots of the raw video. I mean, there's got to be 20 or 30 flags up there, you know, microphones. And the guys did a great job. Next time we need the remote kit, which I know we have with the microphone and the cord and our guys, you know, but they got up there with handheld cameras and got the job done in the middle of the night. Next time we need to have those kits ready for, no pun intended, for Kit and Jakari to have those kits for all our reporters to be able to go to those press conferences and get really good audio. But I give them an A-plus for initiative and questions. So great job to the reporters. Absolutely kick butt here at InfoWars. Let's go back to the end of that video that's up on Drudge where Jakari follows the general to his car. That's what a real reporter does, is he continues to ask questions.
Excuse me, General. General, what do you think about the FBI saying that there was a terror alert on Monday about a potential Fort Hood shooting, potential Fort Hood situation?
There's no link that we know of to that particular case that we know of. We're investigating everything, but there's no particular link. I am aware of that FBI report, and there's no particular link to that we know of.
Very, very suspicious. The fact that they're not pushing anti-gun stuff out of the gates, that they weren't ready for this, I think this was a real shooting. But you've got the FBI running around with Army intelligence looking for a jihadi, former military guy. And then you've got all this other stuff going on. It is suspicious, but my gut tells me this is real. If more comes out, I could change my view on that. But this is 20 plus people a day, 22 veterans a day committing suicide. That's thousands a year, folks. It's off the charts bad. And you're going to have some of them aren't going to commit suicide. They're going to go kill people they're mad at. And then when the government starts a fight with the veterans, they're going to go out and start killing people. And, I mean, if each veteran just goes out and kills one person, that's it for the whole government. So, you know, I got an idea. Let's not have this civil war. How's that sound? We'll be right back.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Please don't forget, this hour of hardcore liberty-biased media, truth-biased media, we have a bias to tell the truth. We have a bias to be aggressive in the defense of freedom. We have a bias towards justice. We have a bias towards not liking bullies and frauds and scammers. We have a bias towards the family, towards the right to self-defense. And we have a bias for fast cars and Marilyn Monroe. I mean, it just really starts coming down to that at the end of the day. I have a bias for good food, good times, and good friends. And being honorable, that's what we stand for. And please don't forget, this radio/TV transmission is being brought to you this hour by mypatriotsupply.com/Alex to find all their specials, water filtration, survival provisions, emergency survival food, heirloom seeds. They've got it all. mypatriotsupply.com/Alex to find the specials, or 866-229-0927. All right, ladies and gentlemen, also briefly, how we fund the reporters. And by the way, I want to hire another group of reporters. We can not just have our home-based group, but so we can have another group of reporters that can then be sent places on a weekly basis, because it really straps us whenever I'm going to send Jakari and I think one other person, I may even go. But this is so much administratively to do here. I'd rather go to Boston and cover that false flag. Last year, it was clearly a false flag. That's coming up in just a few weeks. But we need more reporters. And I think the next wave, we've done great hiring six reporters and then by attrition, down to three or so with Darren McBreen as backup. And we've got our writer reporters that have been stepping up and doing physical reporting, TV and radio reporting out there, like Kit Daniels and others, and Don Salazar and Kurt Nemo. It is essential for you to buy the products at InfoWarsStore.com. We fund ourselves. We have some great sponsors, but we mainly self-fund. And we do it with the best. I go out and, hire researchers and top product developers and say, what would be the Lamborghini of supplements at a fair price? Not cutting any corners. What is the most hardcore male vitality safe system you can produce to make people's glands naturally operate? Super Male Vitality. It cost us $16 to make, folks. The other ones, we could make it for $2. In the bottle, we could put it out. It would be some herbs that simulate testosterone. You'd feel it. You'd like it. You'd order it again. There are competitors that sell it for $100, and I happen to know it costs them $2, $3. Well, we sell it for close to half that, and it costs us $16 a bottle. Still a big markup there because we got to fund the whole operation and all the rest of it. The point is that this is the real deal. You've heard the rave reviews. Super Male Vitality, InfoWarsLife.com. We have the nascent proprietary one-of-a-kind. In fact, I'm going to take mine right now. I've been forgetting to take it three times a day, and I've just been not having as much energy. The Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Need to get that at InfoWars.com. Store.com or go directly to the subsection InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139. And it is those of you out there that buy the products, even if you don't, you're like, oh yeah, I bet this iodine's really going to do something for me, or I bet the silver bullet super strength colloidal silver they've got, oh, I bet that's really good topically or inside you as an antibiotic, even you haven't seen the research, or I bet fluoride shield's great. Well, it is. Try it. Take the challenge. Regardless, you're supporting hardcore liberty-based media. InfoWarsLife.com. And once you try it, you've heard the rave reviews, I want you to experience the coffee. People say it's either their new favorite or they really like it. There's different tastes out there. I've been drinking this coffee for more than 10 years. Tried to find a way to get it directly from the Chiapas farmers. Took me 2 years to do that. We now have Wake Up America coffee. And it's really good, organic, volcanically grown high mountain coffee. If you don't like coffee, fine. Buy it and give it as a gift. The point is, this is the coffee I think is the best. These are the supplements I think are the best. That's what I believe in, is bringing you things that I enjoy, that I use, that I have seen to be powerful. The films I've made, Endgame, Evergreen, 8 years old, more important now than ever to see that film. It's on DVD to have in your library. All the other films we produced or carried, they're all at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, I'm done ranting and plugging here. The point is, this is a free will, free association broadcast. We're not like, as I say, MSNBC that gets stimulus money and banker bailout money. We're not like NPR that gets upwards of $500 million in taxpayer money to literally push very slick fascist propaganda posing as liberal. We are funded by you. And please support our local AM and FM affiliates. It is essential to support those local sponsors, to become a local sponsor, and to spread the word about the broadcast if you're listening to it. If you're listening to us on an AM or FM station, we're on all over the country. Over 100, going up to 170 stations now. We just got a 50,000 water, two of those in the last week. I need to plug those. The point is that we're on in D.C. on 50,000 water. Man, that's incredible. I need to plug that. I just did the liner for it last week. Can I have that and plug it on air? I mean, there's just so much going on. And it's so exciting. Support those stations. If you're listening to this on an AM or FM, you can stop people in their cars at a red light and say, tune into this station right now. This is important. Or tell everybody at work, hey, when you go to lunch today, tune into this. Or tell your boss or your employees about it. This is how we warn people. Support those local AM and FMs. They are so essential. They have giant audiences. It is an information warfare weapon system ready to be used. And the fact that we've come so far that this show is seen as so mainline now, because we've exposed what's happening, you've exposed what's happening, that we are accepted on big stations. Because the program directors and owners can go look and see, yeah, this sounds crazy, but it's going on. This guy backs up what he says. Knock on wood, that's why I've not been sued for defamation and stuff, and why the few frivolous suits we've seen against us by folks before have been thrown out. Most little media organizations get sued all the time, not us, because we know what we're doing. And we've got lawyers, And we do our best to tell the truth. And we get things wrong occasionally. We go and we report on how we're wrong. We retract it. That's the difference between us and dinosaur media that just take the report they're given and repeat it. And talk radio is and was the original alternative media. When print was controlled, when the TV was controlled, only three channels, it was talk radio where people could call in and talk about things, and so many stories would break regionally that would end up becoming, you know, very important, and it was the place that could change what was happening legislatively. Government, tyrants in government, have always feared talk radio, and they're doing everything they can to kill it now. It's just like cash. It's something we need to continue to use, something we need to continue to support, because they want to phase it out. They want to get rid of farmers' markets. We support them. They want to get rid of the Second Amendment. We support it. They want to get rid of borders. We support it. They want to get rid of the family. We support it. They want to force inoculations on us. We're against it. Then you go do the research. They're killing us with them. You know, groups that do secret research over and over again. The EPA, it now turns out, doing secret deadly tests on kids. That's in the news today. I mean, this is what's going on. We're just the same people reporting on the insanity of the ruling class, which throughout history becomes decadent. Look at Caligula marrying his horse. Look at what Hitler did. Look at what all these other crazy leaders have done. Vlad the Impaler. Craziness in government is the norm, not the exception. Because even if you've got a good king and a good ruling nobility, over time they degenerate. Their kids become spoiled. Their grandkids become evil. Their grandkids become flat out satanic. And you got human sacrifice, mass murder, out of control police forces, feeding on people. This is the cycle. And we're going into that evil cycle. But there have been many cases in history where if people warn and people point out historically what's happened, they call them prophets, then you can not go into the depths of the evil cycle and get a reprieve and not go into slavery. In every case in history, when a culture becomes evil, folks, they go into bondage. They lose the blessings of liberty. We are going into bondage. We are losing every basic freedom right now. It's all under assault. And there is a battle and a war for that freedom right now. Now, I want to play this one more time because it's so powerful. And some of it's got subtitles. So see the video up on InfoWars.com. In fact, I want a red link. Army admits Fort Hood shooter was on psychiatric drugs. They always wait for me to say red link. You guys, when something's that big like that, I wrote this article with Watson this morning before I came in. And I forgot to say red link. Just red link it. Drudge has red linked it up on InfoWars.com. We have the article, Army Admits Fort Hood Shooter Was on Psychiatric Drugs. It's up on DrudgeReport.com. Connection between violence and SSRIs medication emerges yet again. Get that article out to everybody because they're going to try to blame the Second Amendment. We're in an InfoWar. We have to point out that almost every school shooter has been on multiple psychotropics. Every time I hear about somebody like a zombie randomly shooting people or shooting a cop in Walmart in Austin, I said, he'll be on Ambien. He was on Ambien. And something else as well that came out in the trial. I forget which one. I mean, of course. I mean, you don't just randomly, a guy with no criminal record, just randomly get a gun and go shoot a cop at Walmart. Wandering around like a zombie. It's the drugs, ladies and gentlemen, and it's going to continue. I mean, look at our current issue. Modern day Maryland, and it's all about the war on women with psychotropics and more. It's got pills raining down from the sky on the cover of the new issue of the magazine, the April issue. Now, I want to go to this press conference. We're going to have more of it on the Nightly News tonight. But here is Kit Daniels asking the questions about 15 feet from the commanding general of Fort Hood, Mark Milley. Lieutenant General, and then we're going to get further breakdown from Jakari Jackson and Kit Daniels. Here's the press conference.
How much indication do you have about premeditation here? Was there anything tied to
they asked about premeditation.
Something going on in this building?
I do not know, and that'll be part of the investigation. I did not say his rank nor his name, and I'll do that when his family is appropriately notified.
It's Ivan Lopez.
So he said he came from another installation. Can you tell us which one that is?
At this time, I prefer not. He was undergoing behavioral health and psychiatric treatment for depression and anxiety. There are reports, I don't know if he was diagnosed in the clinical sense, there are reports that he self-reported a traumatic brain injury previously coming back from the Iraq
Was he on any sort of medications?
He was on medications, that's correct.
Like SSRIs or antidepressants, anything of that nature?
Yes.
Was the FBI already on the scene due to the alert that they gave out about on Monday regarding a possible mass shooting?
We have a local FBI liaison officer.
Okay.
But no, large FBI, you know, assets were not here.
Okay.
They are actually inbound to help with the investigation. All of the wounded and killed were military.
General, the female officer who engaged him, how would you describe what she did today?
Well, it was clearly heroic, what she did at that moment in time, and she did her job, and she did exactly what we would expect of the United States Army Military Commission.
What are your thoughts on carrying concealed weapons?
You're not allowed to carry concealed weapons.
Do you think that should change?
No, I don't think soldiers should have concealed weapons on board. We have law enforcement agents. We're trained professionals.
Didn't stop him from having a gun, did it?
How long did it take for the law enforcement to reach the scene?
It was within minutes.
Within minutes.
Exact time, probably 10 to 15, maybe.
So you're saying that we should have concealed weapons, but it still takes 10 to 15 minutes for law enforcement to even reach the scene? What's your comments on that?
I think the law enforcement acted very rapidly and swiftly, given the nature of this circumstance.
I understand that, but there's still people that have died.
I'm not going to get in a debate.
That's good.
Carrying weapons.
Yeah, he can't get into debate because they've turned military bases in the last 20 years into victim disarmament zones. And obviously, if you live on the base, you should be able to have a firearm. It's like not letting pilots have guns in the cockpit when they did before 9/11. They took them away right before that, strangely enough. You're going to trust them with a giant weapon that goes 600 miles an hour that can take, you know, out thousands of people on the ground, but they can't have a gun? I mean, this is a load of bull. And it's about government and police having the monopoly of force. Let's go now to Jakari Jackson and Kit. Guys, other comments concerning the shooting and the fact that I want to say good job asking the real question. Was he under psychiatric care? Was he on drugs? Yes. And the press conferences, as you know, you guys have the raw footage, have been going on for a long time. People are not asking the real questions. It's ridiculous. It was mainly a worship fest about, oh, what a great job you did, you know, stopping this guy.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And, you know, kudos to Kit. You know, he was able to get down in there low and ask the real questions. And I was just so surprised how upfront the general was when he said, you know, was he on psychiatric drugs? Was he on the SSRIs? He just said yes, which I at least, you know, give him credit for admitting that. I wasn't expecting to get that.
That's why I got to ask it up front before the feds come in and say, hey, let's not bring that up.
Yeah.
Because that's what they usually do, and then it comes out 6 months later.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts about that, Kit?
Well, when I was about 12 years old, I was diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, and I was put on multiple SSRIs. So I know the dangers that they can do. I remember when I was about 14, a doctor tried to force me to take medication, which was an SSRI. So I took a piece of bubble gum and stuck it behind my front teeth. So when I opened my mouth, he thought I actually took it because I knew what it would do to me. It turned me into a zombie. But unfortunately, the mainstream media, they're not going to focus on the dangers of these drugs. They are going to attack the Second Amendment, and they are going to try to push for universal background checks and for mental illness. But the thing is, the DSM-5, which psychologists use to diagnose mental disorders, it's so broad that anyone could be diagnosed with mental disorder. So universal background checks under the guise of mental issues, mental disorders, it just leads to gun confiscation.
Well, listen, I remember in sixth grade about the 10th time kids that had flunked three grades were beating me up, and I would fight back and push one of them over, and he had to go to the hospital. They called my parents in. They said, we want to put your son on Ritalin and maybe some other drugs. And my dad's like, you're the one. My son's being attacked by all your gang members. He's done nothing wrong. No, I'm not putting him on drugs. And then the same thing continued to happen. Drug your son because he stands up for himself.
Yeah, and the thing about it was, you know, you trust these guys, just like you said, to go out there and fight for their country. They're trained in firearms, proficient in firearms. But then they say that you can't carry your own firearm on base. And as Kit pointed out, that even with a police presence on the base, they only had, 15 minutes for response time? 10, 15 minutes? You know, so it's not a very...
The average police response time is 12 minutes.
Yeah, so, I mean, even in a place where they have a monopoly on force, they can't even use that force to protect themselves.
Absolutely.
Well, that's it. Exactly. And now, Paul Watson wrote the article, should we disarm the whole military? Because
with the people. They say if somebody commits a crime, we're all guilty.
Right.
Well, then disarm the military. We're going to be right back. I want to continue to break down this press conference and the fact that he was on drugs.
Man thinks, 'cause he rules the earth, he can do with it as he please. And if things don't change soon, he will. Oh, man has invented his doom. First step was touching the moon. Now there's a woman on my block.
By the way, I want to show you here, if you're a TV viewer, at PrisonPlanet.tv, the Ambien. How many pages is this? 20-something page, adverse reactions and side effects. Abnormal thinking and behavioral problems, 5.3. Bizarre behavior, agitation, depersonalization. And then it just goes on. Violent behavior, suicide attempts, abnormal thinking. I want to get back to our reporters, but because this would take a long time to read all 22 pages. Abnormal thoughts, behavior, symptoms include more outgoing and aggressive behavior than normal, confusion, agitation, hallucinations, worsening of depression, and suicidal thoughts or actions. And, I mean, every one of these drugs is in the hallucinogen family. And you put people on hallucinogens, they're going to have a bad trip. Sleepwalking. And you add it to violent behavior, I call that sleep killing. And the general public's already in a trance-like state. These people are literally zombie killers. And somebody makes them mad, and they snap, and they kill 18 villagers in Afghanistan, and we give them, you know, 50 years in prison. When the person admittedly said, I didn't know who I was. God served 4 tours, had part of his foot blown off, had a prosthesis, and they made him go back. Automatic re-up. Sergeant Bales, and then he snapped when they put him on a bunch of medication because he was in an IED attack and his buddy got killed. So they put him on a bunch of new drugs, and he flipped out and killed people, and he's going to be in a military prison forever because we can't admit it's the drugs. We can't ever admit it's the drugs.
Because the answer to the drugs is just more drugs. So you're taking this pill, and now you have this side effect. So now let's give you this pill. Let's give you this pill to counteract that pill. It's all about the pills. You know, instead of giving these guys real treatment and trying to really help them in, you know, whatever area that they need it, it's just say, take this drug, take more drugs.
That's the answer. I mean, if my son has allergies and has trouble sleeping, the medical doctor says, maybe you put him on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a car wreck now, they say, well, you're depressed, put you on drugs.
Right.
You know, it's not your diet. It's not your life. It's not that you're getting enough exercise. It's not that you're getting GMOs.
Mm-hmm.
No, you need drugs that make you kill people.
That's it. That's exactly it.
And this ties back into the war on drugs, because if you and me were to take illegal drugs that are hallucinogens, we get thrown in jail. But if we are prescribed hallucinogens that are FDA approved, well, that's okay. As long as Big Pharma gets its profits.
Yeah, if you get your drugs from a reputable dealer, a guy in a white lab coat, then that's perfectly fine.
I'd never been allergic to bees, and then I was in college digging out an area for my parents to put a garden in. They were paying me to do it, and I was hoeing the ground up, and a group of aggressive bees, I probably got stung 15 times, and they were gone. It was during the day on a Saturday. I went in, took a shower, put baking soda on me. Throat started shrinking up, was about to call an ambulance, but kind of the only time in my life, almost had like a hallucination. And I felt like I was on, you know, cloud 9 or something. And that's what I'm told it feels like when you're on these drugs. I mean, I could have done anything when those bees attacked me.
Yeah.
I mean, I was out of my mind high off their poison.
Yeah, I mean, I've never taken these drugs myself, so I can't speculate to the effects. But I definitely realize that, because you see all these mass killers. They say, oh, I thought I was in a video game. I thought I was in some type of action movie. It's almost like a Looney Tunes cartoon, you know, like you shoot the guy and his face gets all smoky and then he's fine 10 seconds later. That's what these guys think when they take these drugs.
No, I dated some women before I got married who were on them. And I mean, these people were out of their minds. And I'd known some of them before they got on them. And I'm not attacking people that are, you know, on this stuff. And I'm sure for somebody it might actually help them. But statistically, it's Russian roulette. And I don't think we should put hardcore combat killers on them.
Yeah, and
if the insert says it'll make you do that.
And that's the whole point, Alex, because and most people probably don't have these effects where they go out and commit some violence.
Stay there, Jakar. We're going to come back in 1 minute.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
Visit Ron Paul's GCN coming up, too.
GCN.com today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, final segment with our star reporters, Jakari Jackson and Kit Daniels. They went out to the press conference at Fort Hood with the Lieutenant General, Commander of the base, Mark Milley, and asked, hey, was he on drugs? Was he in psychiatric care? Oh, yeah, he was. No one else was going to ask that. You see it in AP, Reuters. It's the big story nationwide. I'm not tooting our horn. It's just that we went and asked the real questions. I mean, what's wrong with these reporters, Jakari Jackson, that they were there? Because, you know, you guys have tons of this press conference, audio and video. No one was asking the real questions but you guys.
Well, you know, the thing about it was, you know, because last night I got this information right when we were doing the nightly news. So I had to do the show, and me and Kit flew out to Fort Hood. And when we get there, the press conference had probably been going on like 10, 20 minutes before we got there. And, you know, Kit Daniels, to his credit, jumps out of a moving car when I turn into the base. And then I run up to the press conference. I go park the car and get over there. And people asking, you know, what about the police woman who stopped the guy? You know, another, you know, questions that are reasonable. But, you know, Kit comes with the hard sell. Hey, man, was he on the drugs? You know, was he on drugs? Why was he taking the drugs? You know, what's up with the guns? Will you allow the guys to carry concealed on the Fort Hood campus? He says no. The general says no, because we have trained people here to protect you. But as we saw on a military base, they can't even keep you safe there.
It's sad to me that the military brass today has fallen so far away from the ideals of our founding fathers. So when the Second Amendment was written, the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists, they didn't even debate about it. It's hardly any debate about it because they all believed in it. They believed in the individual right to self-defense.
It was one of the only things that there wasn't debate on. They debated for months on the other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. But nowadays it's like, well, we don't even have Second Amendment anymore when it comes to military base, even though they are defending our freedoms. So it's like, what's with this duopoly?
Well, they won't even defend the freedoms of their own soldiers, because, you know, we've got those leaked documents from Fort Hood where they say that if you're a...
evangelical.
Well, not just that.
Tea party.
Yeah, all that. But also, if you're a open carrier, the guys like to go out and open carry, they say, no, you can't do that if you represent Fort Hood.
That's right. They're saying, we may court-martial you.
Yeah.
And we've had the sergeant and others on, was he master sergeant. We will not allow you to be in Second Amendment demonstrations. Mm-hmm. We might court-martial you back on base.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So they won't even stand up for the rights of their own soldiers.
Yeah, and the other...
That's because they're under the command of the globalist.
And this lieutenant general, just think if he said, well, yes, I agree, maybe we should consider concealed carry. He'd get purged out of the military like that.
Well, he did seem better than a lot of the... I mean, imagine how honest his answers and straightforward were compared to the White House press secretary.
Yeah, I mean, at least the guy was saying what he believed, or at least he's been trained to believe.
He was just giving you straight answers.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he was saying, yeah, he was on drugs. Yeah, it was psychiatric. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll give him that, and I definitely give him that. But, you know, definitely interested to see what else comes out of this situation. You know, people ask me, you know, is this again? What'd you think when you heard about it again? Because even when Kit told me about it last night, I was like... Fort Hood, like, again? You know, so maybe we can get to the root of this problem.
Well, it's such a giant base.
Yeah, we get to the root of the problem where it's not just the firearm itself, it's the person and the action and taking responsibilities for those actions.
I mean, to quantify it, it's like a city like Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of people go in and out of there every week. It's just giant, so you're going to have stuff like this happen.
Yeah.
My bottom line is, do not blame the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I told Piers Morgan. I said, look, you're prescribing mass murder pills. You have the ads on for all these Prozac-type drugs that make people do this. Stop blaming gun owners for what your listeners do.
Yeah, but they didn't want to give up that ad revenue. So let's change the question.
Well, they kicked me off. They went to commercial and ended it. I was supposed to come back. And then they're like, uh-oh. I mean, he was there to blame us like we killed those kids at Sandy Hook, if you believe the official story and the blue screens and all the rest of it.
Yeah, it's all of us. We're collectively bad, but it's never talking about the real issues. You know, all the research done into these mass shooters being on these pills for several years now.
It's almost every case.
Yeah.
I can't think of any case where they're not on it. Because normal people don't just randomly go out and start shooting people. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen.
No. Right.
I mean, it's like people that are having a diabetic shock or something, driving 100 miles an hour. They don't know. Great job, guys. The video's up on InfoWars.com and GrudgeReport.com. Ron Paul's coming up. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by the Omnibudsman, the granddaddy of the modern constitutional libertarian movement, and his son is the U.S. Senator from Kentucky in all major polls, the front runner to be the Republican nominee. And, of course, that's Rand Paul, ladies and gentlemen. Former Congressman Ron Paul joins us here today to cover the waterfront. Thank you for coming on, sir. He also, of course, has RonPaulChannel.com, launching his own powerful multimedia TV print radio system. I'm on affiliates all over the country that carry his daily commentaries, and so I am able to hear those when I'm a guest. Very exciting to see Ron Paul and many others like Jesse Ventura starting their own media operations. This will fully overthrow the old dinosaur media system that's already discredited itself. Dr. Paul, out of the gates, Fort Hood situation. Our reporters last night talked to the commanding general. The video's on drudgereport.com. They confirmed he was on psychotropic drugs and Ambien. We're now learning he was on multiple drugs. What is your take on that as a medical doctor?
Well, obviously, I think the drugs have a major role to play in this. Almost all the time, whether there's high school shootings or wherever this occurs, that they're receiving this government-directed care for psychological problems and neuropsychotropic drugs. It's happening all the time. So that's the immediate thing that crosses my mind when I hear this. And then when you hear of it being related to government and military and veterans, you can be guaranteed that they're getting the wrong kind of treatment. So medically, I think it's, you know, that the diagnosis is wrong, the treatment is wrong, and we participate. We may take one thing and make it worse. I think what's happened is they look at these terrible acts, and yet they're merely a symptom of something else. And I think they never look for the cause. Why do people come back from war with this post-traumatic stress disorder and also the many brain injuries? Well, it's the war. It's the war that's going on there. And then when you think about, well, in medicine, you know, we want to prevent diseases. But in politics, it doesn't seem like they want to prevent the harm done because, you know, if you don't want these kind of problems, why don't we have a different foreign policy? You know, this is a consequence. So they create the conditions to jeopardize all these young people. They come back. They can't get jobs. They become depressed. We put them on drugs. We make them a lot worse. And we don't change our foreign policy. We compound it. We create the problem, then give them drugs and make it worse, and then everybody is just totally shocked. Oh, how could this happen? You know, and fortunately, it's not happening more. I think they've created conditions which are so terrible. But the real tragedy, when we hear about the killings and all, but what about the hundreds of thousands now who are suffering, and they're just falling, you know, talk about falling through the cracks. These people are out on the streets, and they're begging for treatment, and yet my big beef is they never look at the cause. You know, during the campaign, we used to talk about, I emphasize this whole thing of blowback. Maybe we have a problem with terrorism, war on terrorism, because we have a deeply flawed foreign policy, and there is blowback. No, they're not going to talk about that, and they're not going to talk about wars that make no sense. And that, of course, is what I would think is the important thing. Otherwise, we're going to have this problem for a long time to come. It's probably still going to cost us trillions of dollars doing the wrong thing.
Well, you're an Air Force veteran, and, of course, during the Vietnam era, you saw a lot of duty there. Back even during Vietnam, they only made him serve one or two tours. One of my grandfathers, after he served his 22 flights in the Army Air Corps over Europe, was on the ground in Italy and was shaken for his whole life by the starving Italian children and the horrors he saw in Italy and the rest of Europe. That was just 2 years in the U.S. Army. And my other grandfather was affected by World War II in a crash he was in, both of them in the Army Air Corps. I just can't imagine these guys, many of them, more than 10 tours of combat now. I don't think anybody mentally can handle that.
No, and that is a big thing. That is different, even though these wars are seen as not nearly as violent as the other ones. World War killed hundreds of thousands, you know, and Vietnam killed a lot more. But a lot of people went, and a lot of people were injured and damaged, and it's more than anybody ever imagined. And they went back and forth so often. They actually ended up in these recent wars with more days in duty and worrying about what mine they're going to step on and get blown up. But then there's the addition. Even though this problem existed in World War One and Two, but it wasn't generally talked about, it talked about now, but there's a lot more of it, and some people would think, well, maybe it has to do with the way we go to war. You would think maybe it would have been a lot easier to adjust if you were knowing that you were fighting Hitler, and, you know, this was a really, really important war to win. But now, I think this compounds the stress disorder is when deep down in their heart, I think a lot of them realize that this was all, you know, just wasted time and wasted life and wasted money, and if they can't face that, then I think they harbor those deep feelings, and that contributes to it. And then all of a sudden, the doctor says, "Well, give him a pill," you know.
Well, that's right,
and make him feel better.
And again, you're a medical doctor and a veteran yourself, so you can speak directly to this. But that was well known after World War II that if someone thought a war was just, you didn't have as many mental problems. But right. If you don't think it's just, you have serious problems. And it was the Nazis that pioneered drugging their troops with amphetamines and proto-psychotropics. So our military is following what the Nazis did.
Yeah. But, you know, whether the war is just or not, what if you are thinking about maybe this is unjust, and then you suppress those feelings, you don't express them. It's suppression of some of these horrible thoughts. I cannot believe our government would be, you know, do this. You mean that this was all wasted life? This was all done in vain? That is pretty hard to face up. What if you lost a loved one? Isn't it very natural for you want to make them a hero and say, well, he didn't die in vain. His life wasn't wasted. He died as a great protector of the Constitution. And, you know, and so you have to suppress those feelings. And I think that is where the whole problem is compounded. And then they go to the doctor for a pill, and that makes the whole problem that much worse.
That's right. Former Congressman Ron Paul is our guest right now. They're on screen. RonPaulChannel.com. Excellent news, media, and liberty-based analysis with a truth bias. If they like to tell the truth, it's the opposite of the dinosaur media. Briefly, dinosaur media's numbers are dropping about 24% a year, according to Nielsen. At this rate, MSNBC, CNN will have less than 100,000 viewers within 2 years. One of our affiliates has ratings of over 100,000 listeners in 3 hours, Congressman. What do you predict is going to happen when my show has 3 million and the Ron Paul channel has millions and Drudge Report has 10 million a day and all this? What are they going to do? We're already the real media. What is the system going to do to counter this?
Well, they make efforts, you know. They try to think that they're competing by having a website, and, you know, they can go watch videos and this sort of thing. But the business is going to change, you know. I think the radio business will change, and they're going to go more to independent radios and webcasting and all these other things and podcasting.
Market-based.
Well, hopefully they're all put out of business.
Yes.
But the tragedy will be is, you know, in a totalitarian country, and we have a little bit of this here where the government has to subsidize the media, so you might see it might get much worse, even though it's bad already, even though it will not give us news and the people won't want it, but the people will recognize it. But who knows, it might mean that the taxpayer is going to be forced to pay for some of that stuff, because I think the advertisers who still can make a market choice won't do it. They're going to go to the different sites to advertise and target their advertisement. That's why this is so attractive to so many of the people who are trying to sell products on the air.
I agree with you, though. They're going to pure state-run financed media to counter us in trying to censor the new media, trying to censor web freedom. But thank God you're there. I know that's one of the main initiatives you've got, Dr. Paul, is to keep the Internet free.
Absolutely. And it's constantly being threatened. And I'm all, since I don't know all the technology involved in how the internet works, I'm betting on the free market and free individuals and the fact that this is universal to come up and counteract everything that the government does, you know, get around it. So I'm hoping technology is the vehicle that undermines the authoritarianism that exists in some
that's
of our
right.
governments, and that's what I'm hoping for.
That's right. We can compete and innovate our way out of the tyranny. That's our greatest renaissance hope. All right, in the 4 or 5 minutes we've got left, sir, I want to get into what you've really been focusing on so eloquently. We've got a professor coming on later who backs you up. This issue of what's unfolding over in the Ukraine and the demonization by state-run media of anyone that doesn't want to have the EU and NATO take over Ukraine. I mean, they've taken over 90% of the country. They overthrew the government. This is a big defeat for Russia. As you said, Putin's no angel, but I mean, the media over here is acting like Russia is starting World War III. Instead, the West is starting a new Cold War. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's what they're doing. And there's, I go back and forth from, you know, the American people are buying into it again. They're listening to all the TV and going along with it. But then I go and I look for a glimmer of hope, and we find out that occasionally they'll do a poll, and that poll will show the American people are still coming toward our position and saying, no, we don't need another war. We don't need to, you know, be involved. We don't need troops on the ground. But I don't think the average person on the street yet realizes how much money we put into messing around with the internal affairs of Ukraine for the last 10 years plus, you know, with all the National Endowment for Democracies. Victoria Nuland admitted the Department of State has spent over $5 billion
Incredible.
Interfering, you know, with the government. So, yes, there are problems around, and like you said, we can't defend Russia as being the angels. But if we just stayed out of it, it would be a big help. There's no help at all whatsoever for us to be involved there. The evidence is so clear. Look, whether it's Libya or Egypt or Afghanistan or Iraq, Syria, we're over in Syria giving money and helping and aiding the Al-Qaeda. So, but I think the American people are waking up. They might not see it quite like I do about minding our own business and have non-interventions like our founders wanted, but the conservatives are saying, you know what? We are broke. You know, there has to be a limit. Have you noticed that already? That some people are saying, "Well, that we better wake up because you know the bank is empty." And
that's
all
right.
All they're doing is printing money. So we have to quit.
Well, that's the issue: is that the socialist and people want us bankrupt. They want us dependent. They want to wreck the golden goose so they can control everything. Two final questions for Ron Paul of RonPaulChannel.com. Dr. Paul. Looking at the presidential run, hands down, your son's the best candidate. He's leading in all the polls. Ted Cruz is also, I think, a great guy, but I don't completely overall trust him because I haven't known him like I've known your son for 16 years since he was campaigning for you to get back into Congress for 17 years. I do trust Rand. He's done a great job. How do we get behind Rand? He's clearly going to run for president now. He started the exploratory group. He's the front runner. What are you planning to do to support him for president?
Well, mainly, you know, trying to get people to understand the issues, because a person like Rand or myself or anybody that agrees with us, the problem is that the general population thinks it's not in their best interest if you don't want to promote war and welfare. Well, they want welfare. What we have to do is educate people to the point where we're realizing it's in their interest. Most people vote in their own self-interest, and as long as they think they're going to get something, you know, the big bankers know exactly what they're doing. It's in their own interest, but we have to get people to understand it's in their best interest to vote for somebody like Rand, and even if they want to, even if they will be charged with saying, oh, they don't care about the poor people. You've heard that enough. They think that we have no concern. But the whole thing is, if anybody had any compassion or any concern for the poor, they ought to believe in liberty because the evidence is so clear that the freer a country it is, the more prosperity and the greater chance that we have for peace. But it's mainly getting that out, mobilizing people, energizing people, getting supporters, sending money. All these things are necessary for a campaign to be successful.
What about a Rand Paul, Ted Cruz ticket? Do you think Ted Cruz would run as VP?
I have no idea. I imagine not too many people turn it down.
Well, I like Ted Cruz. What's your view of him?
Well, I have a hesitation about his foreign policy.
You know, I do too, yeah.
I'm a little less interventionist than he is on foreign policy. But, you know, he's tough, and he certainly agrees with us on the medical care system in this country and how bad it is and what we ought to do. So.
Speaking of that, lastly, Obamacare, he says we can't repeal it. 80% in many polls are against it. But the Republican leadership, you know, helped write it, as you exposed. What would you do, sir, to dismantle this? Everything you said about it has now come true. Your analysis was absolutely on target. It's worse than we even thought in many cases. It's bankrupting the country, raising payroll taxes on poor people. The architect of it, Ezekiel Emanuel, admits it's meant to wreck the system. I mean, isn't that criminal?
Absolutely, and if you could, if you had a Congress to pass a law to repeal it, you could. The odds of that happening are very slim, but there has to be a way that you can legalize freedom of choice to get out of an evil program, you know. And we sort of had that going, but now with Obamacare, it's been so de-emphasized, and that is the right of you and I to get out and take care of ourselves and get a tax deduction and have a medical savings account. People will just flock to that once they realize, that these lies about Obamacare, you know, are lies and that people aren't going to be very happy with it. So we always have to have the right to opt out. We always should have, just in schooling. You have to have a right to get out of the government schools. You have to be able to go to a private school or do homeschooling. And when they eliminate that, then we're in big trouble. And in medicine, they're essentially trying to do that for any of us to opt out of the system. And right now, there's a lot of unhappy people because it's based on pure authoritarianism.
Wow. Well, former Congressman Ron Paul, ronpaulchannel.com, thank you so much for your tireless defense of liberty. And we look forward to speaking to you again in the future.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, sir. All right, there he goes. Just incredible the way he analyzes everything. In fact, he crystallized it. Obamacare is an evil program. It's an evil system. We should have a right to not be part of it. This is a basic civil, God-given right. The way he described Ted Cruz as tough. Ted Cruz is tough. 28 hours not going to the bathroom, staying eloquent. I've tried to do a 24-hour broadcast. I can hardly do it. I mean, he's tough. And you've got his wife's background on the Council on Foreign Relations and Goldman Sachs. It is not good. But I follow the record of judge a tree by its fruits. The fruits are about 95% good with him. They're about 97% good with Rand Paul. They're not going to get elected unless they play some politics. My gut tells me that Ted Cruz deep down does love liberty and understands the way the wind blows, too, that liberty is the only thing that's going to save this country. A lot of the establishment doesn't want to totally wreck the country. Just they just want power. And I think Ted Cruz kind of represents that, the non-insane establishment. Because the establishment's figuring out when real tyranny comes in, there's not going to be a bunch of seats at the table. Whoever gets the ring of power in this new tyranny, this technocracy, is going to shut down all their competition. Everyone, the common folks, working class, middle class, wealthy, nouveau riche, ultra rich, everyone. You really don't want tyranny. It stinks. It's bad. There's a small group of evil people who literally hate families, literally hate God, literally hate justice. I've studied it. In all my 20 years of work, 19 years on air, knowing Rand Paul, actually 18, since like 1996. In all of it, it just comes down to these people want the power to persecute good people. They want the power to control the media and tell an actress, you got to have sex with me if you want to be in state-run media. They want the power to have the street signs the color they want. They want the power to tell you what your house can look like or what drugs your kids have got to take. They want to run your life. I don't want to run people's life. I don't want to tell my crew what to do. I want to lead them by example and show them how to defeat tyranny. I do not want to sit there henpecking them standing over them, telling them what to do all day. Well, the establishment wants that. And you talk to somebody like Ron Paul, I mean, he's the real deal, folks. And that's why socialists and tyrants and control freaks everywhere don't like him. Because collectivism destroys people. Collectivism makes people dependent. Collectivism makes people weak. Victor Hugo, the French philosopher, said it best. Adversity makes men, prosperity makes monsters. Adversity makes men, prosperity makes monsters. And that's the paradox. Liberty produces prosperity, and then you get tyranny because people become decadent again. How do you become a virtuous society that doesn't go back through that cycle like Groundhog Day over and over again? I don't want a civil war. I'm not stupid and macho wanting some war with the government, because I know the people in the government are brainwashed, compartmentalized. I want to free them. I want them to join me and join our forebears and join the people that stood for justice and freedom. But the people are going to have to lead, folks, for the government to follow. We've just sat there and gone, you're the authority, you're the boss, I'll do whatever you say. Well, bad people get in charge, we follow the orders, and then that empowers the evil. It blows wind into its sails. We, the people, have to just not comply with corruption. It doesn't mean across the board. Doesn't mean you don't have to pick your battles. I don't fight everything on every front. Sometimes if I've got a bigger mission and I'm going somewhere and some bureaucrat or somebody gets in my way and is violating me, I just go like the water around them. Okay. But then sometimes I decide to stand up against them. Sometimes I decide to go along with something in the system. Sometimes I don't. I sit there and I judge these laws and these regulations according to the Bill of Rights and Constitution. And then I follow what is constitutional. What is not constitutional, I do not follow. And I wage war against. And it's a very, very simple equation. If you don't wage war against this alien New World Order system, you are part of the enemy operation. It's that simple. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
We think, just let me think.
I suspect even now, orders are being shouted into telephones and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Sutler.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and soliciting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
Is a war. It's happening now. It will decide the fate of humanity. The time to choose sides has come. We are the resistance. We are the info war.
That's right. The only way to not give them the civil war they want to break the country down is to go info war 110%. The enemy will still carry out a false flag, probably. That's the one question I meant to ask Ron Paul. He keeps warning of criminal elements in the government staging false flags for war and domestic takeovers. He knows the vicious, stinking ace of spades they've got up their sleeve. And the only way to expose it is that it's coming out of their sleeve. When the false flag comes, it's cheating. We got to be watching, sleight of hand, then pulling the ace out of the sleeve. And I just keep looking for the ace card. I keep watching for that. There's some other stuff they can pull as well. Maybe a bio attack, or they may claim it's naturally occurring. They could do anything. But out of a crisis, they can maintain control. Unless we realize that the system getting more control doesn't protect us, so we reject your control. Whether it's made up or real, giving up our freedom doesn't protect us. We want our freedom, like Jesse Ventura says. He'd rather face the danger. I want no security at the airport. Arm the pilots. And statistically, you know the numbers. You got a better chance of being struck twice by lightning than being grabbed by a hijacker, even if they're real. And most of the time, it turns out it's staged. You go out and you get on the highway every day and you drive 70 miles an hour on two-lane roads with a car right beside you. If you come out of their lane or they come out of their lane with a blowout, and I've seen this happen. I know you've probably seen it, most of you. Most of you have seen a fatality crash. You've had family that died in a crash. Why do you still get in a car? Kills 300,000 people a year, roughly, in the U.S. alone. You're going 70, they're going 70. You know what happens when you come out of your lane in a blowout and you hit them head-on 70 miles an hour to 70? That's a 140-mile-an-hour crash. I don't care how many seatbelts you got on, you're dead. And I wanted to go out one day with a GoPro on the side of the truck, sticking out 6 inches, and show people this. Going down the highway, going down these country roads with cars coming inches away, and everybody's happy, everybody's clapping, kids are listening to music or playing games. You're sitting there talking to your wife, or you sit there and you got the 17-year-old, 18-year-old babysitter, you know, with your kids all in the back of the car flying off to drive to gymnastics or whatever. You're just calm. Bye, sweeties. Most dangerous thing in their life. They're going to be inches from death the entire time, and nobody's worried about it. But then we're all shaking in fear of the terrorist that our criminal government publicly runs, overthrowing countries everywhere and attacking our own military in Iraq. And you're like, well, why would they fund them to attack our own military, the simple-minded public? I don't know. Why did that guy famously get caught breaking hundreds of windshields a night in New York? Because he owned the big windshield company and had the signs up everywhere. The billboard saying, get your windshield fixed the cheapest. Why do criminal interest fund Al-Qaeda and fund them taking over and fund them attacking U.S. bases in Iraq right now after they were done with Syria? Our government gave them part of Iraq. Our government gave them the heavy weapons and the medium weapons, the kinetic weapons. Because our government isn't a government. It's a group of criminals that want more defense contracting money and want the next war and the next war and the next war. And so they can pull us over and have the cop believe there's terrorists everywhere and make us all suspects in a war on terror, which they now tell us is the gun owners, the Tea Party, the returning veterans, the Christians. This is outrageous. Obviously, this government is a group of out-of-control, illegitimate, hijacking criminals. They're the threat. They're the fraud. They're the enemy. They're what's dangerous. A lot more dangerous than cars. In this world, let me tell you what's dangerous. Government. Before you hit about 50, start getting cancer and heart attacks, then those become the number one cause. You can debate 1 year it's heart attacks, next year it's cancer. It's the number one killer. Suicide's now up there, the number one cause of unnatural death in Americans because of all the psychotropics. The more we take these drugs, the more we kill each other. The more people commit suicide. I mean, it's all right there. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 = 4. There's no debating. It's there. Obamacare is a giant fraud. So Obama says there's no debating because there's no debating. He's a fraud. He says, no, there's no debating. It's wonderful and everyone loves it. And there's people telling tall tales about it. No, people are seeing their premiums go up. People are losing their insurance. People are getting their wages grabbed. People are seeing their payroll taxes go up. People are getting screwed. And it's the same thing I was just getting into about the danger. Let me tell you what's number one danger, and George Washington said this in quotes as well, not just me. Number one danger in life in the last 6,000 years of agrarian, industrialized society. Agrarian up until about 300 years ago with the Industrial Revolution. But since civilization formed, 6,000 plus years ago, government is hands down in every history book, not debated, the number one killer, period. It is like fire, a dangerous servant and a fearful master. George Washington. But you know, the Fort Hood documents that Army intelligence leaked to us, that then got on Fox News and everywhere else, CNN covered it and said, well, it is reasonable that you should be arrested if you're part of the Tea Party or an evangelical Christian. They said the founding fathers would not be welcome in today's military. Ladies and gentlemen, the founding fathers, George Washington founded the U.S. Army. The John Paul Jones patch is now not allowed in the Navy SEALs because the Southern Poverty Law Center runs everything and says so. John Paul Jones founded the U.S. Navy. I'm going to say this again. The enemy, the bad guys, are naked. They are right in front of us saying our veterans are the number one enemy. Gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, Christians. I mean, this is outrageous authoritarianism. This is outrageous evil. It is outrageous to have Obama on every entertainment show I see now, walking through restaurants, walking to the mall, at people's houses, gas stations they'll have it on. I see him on ESPN, HBO, CNN entertainment shows, the NFL. I cannot get away from it. And everywhere, here's the host. Man, your skin looks great, Joe Biden. You're so handsome. Or, man, everybody should be really thankful. My premium went down, Joe. It was so easy. I signed up for Obamacare. This is the script. I signed up, Obama. It was easy. Everyone loves it, and everyone should thank you for giving it to us. Thank you. It's free. Well, you know, I appreciate it. I mean, this is sick, 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 sick. If I was the maker of Brazil, Terry Gilliam, an incredible director of Monty Python fame, you know, I would take the things that are on the news now and make another dystopic movie about it, except it's already happening. This stuff is directly out of a science fiction Stanley Kubrick Clockwork Orange. If you put stuff in Clockwork Orange, A Clockwork Orange, this bizarre, no one would have believed it in the 70s. I mean, it's that completely insane. I said this yesterday. There is no other government that puts out more ridiculous stuff, that is more absurdist, cartoonish, should be the type of stuff that discredits Obama and the Democrats. I mean, it is a war against reality. It is lies. You know, Matt Drudge is lying. There's no penalty if you don't buy Obamacare. It's in the law. The penalty starts for small businesses this year. It's all on record. And their response is Matt Drudge is a liar. Tall tales, it don't exist. That's literally like saying the sun didn't come up this morning. I mean, it is a manifest total war on reality, ladies and gentlemen. And they play games and go, well, it doesn't kick in for most people till next year. Because sadly, most people don't have employees. Most people work for these global corporations now. I'm ranting here. I just don't even... I know what to do. I realize the psychological warfare that they're engaged in. It is an attempt to create learned helplessness, a cognitive dissonance to just overwhelm the circuits and to condition us and inoculate us to accept total lies. They know they can't cover up what's happening anymore, so they're just going to set the precedent where they can commit any crime, walk all over us, tell lies, get away with everything. They are just training. They know we caught them crapping in the pool. So their answer is to crap 10 million times in the pool and just tell you, no, blue water isn't blue anymore. It's black. Get in it. I mean, that's basically, I hate to use a gross analogy, but does that analogy work, guys? Because
it's nasty, but effective.
But I mean, that's really what it is. It's just they are in a war with reality and goodness. They are overthrowing common sense, and they are practicing lies on us. You see what I'm saying, CJ?
Yeah. Lied to every day.
But sure. But I mean, look. Bill Clinton didn't lie this much. Bush didn't lie this much. Putin, the Russians don't lie like this. Merkel doesn't lie like this. They just go, yes, the government has special vaccines. Don't worry about it. Because they know it's discredits to lie and get caught lying over and over again. But with the Democrats, they've gone with this confidence game thing where they just go, everyone loves Obamacare. Everyone wants to turn their guns in. Everyone wants open borders. Everyone loves GMO. Everyone loves Michelle Obama. Everyone loves world government. Everyone loves teaching five-year-olds how to have anal sex. You know, it's just a crazy town.
Alex, Obama has something that other leaders don't. That's peer pressure.
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure.
No, that's it. It's like you've got to buy in to the trendiness in Nancy Pelosi in her $3,000 sports jacket dress with the pop collar. And she's confident, and she sits up there and says, everyone loves it. What's the problem? They say we're hoaxing when we expose their hoax. And so I guess that's all it is a bunch of grandstanding, thinking you're so stupid out there that you will buy absolutely anything and everything they do. And I think that's what it comes. I mean, talk about a hoax, folks. Almost every mass shooter has been on SSRIs or on Ambien. I'm talking about locally, the last three or four people that just randomly shot somebody for no reason. I said, they'll be on it. They were on it. Not one thing out of the Austin Police Department. Next time Acevedo's in here, I'm going to bring up that cop that got killed in Walmart. I'm going to say, why didn't you call for an investigation of people on SSRIs? Well, that's for the mental health professionals to do. Blah, 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 blah. No, it's for everybody's job. It's like breast cancer's up multi-thousand percentage points in women in the United States. Leading the world in it. I saw the statistics last year. I think you're over 100 times it was likely in the U.S. to get breast cancer than if you live in some place like Brazil. There's no discussion of why is it skyrocketing. It's all, let's find a way to cure it. See? It's like every time there's a mass shooting, every time, I cannot find cases where they weren't on psychotropic drugs. So there's no discussion of why is this going on? There were over 100 reporters at that press conference. And Ja'Kari Jackson and Kit Daniels, our reporters, pulled up right as it began, ran up, and asked the questions at the end of the press conference. No one, it was all about, well, the female cop that showed up, you know, that made him shoot himself and stop it. You know, she's a hero. Tell us about her. Let's talk about that hero cop again, because that's what they want. Give me hero cops. Give me, because it's a prime directive. And fine, give me a hero cop story. But can we have other questions here, please? Does it always have to be the hero cop? See, everyone has been trained to ask mindless, pop culture, trendy, peer pressure, garbage questions. And you know, quite frankly, I think if you sign up to be an MP and somebody's shooting people, I don't think you're a hero if you run up and start shooting at them. I think you're doing your job. I'm not taking away. It's just that it does have to be every time. Hero cop, hero cop. Can we say hero cop again? Let's say that 10 more times. And then if I turn on the news, let's hear about hero cops all day. And then if I watch a movie, more hero cops. And then more hero cops. See, the idea is only cops can be heroes. Only government can be heroes. And now the military can't have guns because they're not the hero cops. They can't be trusted. Really, they can't be trusted? Statistically, the military kill themselves. They don't kill people. Very low crime rate in veterans. You can look up the numbers. We know where the high crime rates are, ladies and gentlemen. They're in the drug-infested gangster culture that is taking over the country, that Hollywood and MTV promote. That's where the crime is. Again, more psych warfare. More garbage. More murders, more trash. But every time you hear about some mother of three drowning all three of her kids or all five of her kids or chopping their arms off with meat cleavers, it always comes out weeks later they were on psychotropics. Every time the cops pull up and a woman's dancing naked, cutting herself with butcher knives. That's a true story. They know immediately what they're going to find in the medicine cabinet. Everybody knows what's doing this. Every time a soldier goes crazy and goes and kills 18 innocent people or 10 innocent people, they're on these drugs. Every stinking time. The drugs are the issues, not our guns. And I know you know that. You better get that out to everybody. Matt Drudge took our article, put it up at drudgereport.com. You need to get our article at places like Real Alex Jones on Twitter or Infowars.com and get it out. Because there are people in an info war who want to blame you for what this guy did, whacked out of his brain on drugs, that the government put him on. They're responsible for this more than anybody. We're not responsible, but they're going to collectively, the social engineers, blame us and blame all veterans and take their rights away as well. So in the info war, we've got to get these stories and get them out. I've got geopolitical news coming up on a host of issues and a lot more straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Then we have a constitutional professor joining us. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Yeah, that red coat we're sending packing, Piers Morgan, who has armed bodyguards, he's blaming the Second Amendment for the mass shooting at Fort Hood. A military base. Active duty soldier on psychotropics, on drugs, shoots people he's mad at, and I'm to blame? So we need to take the guns out of the military. I mean, who can have... If we're going to blame people collectively, then you got to take the military's guns. Just like we did the report back at the time and said, should we ban cars because somebody ran over 25 people, killing a bunch of them at South by Southwest? And we went out, and the more liberal and trendy someone was, they said, yes, ban cars. It's the car's fault. No, idiots. Man, you're stupid. It is not the car's fault. But they're coming out with robot cars now where, oh, the car will see if you're driving too fast or violently and won't let you do it. See, prior restraint, which is total surveillance, total control, total slavery. That's what this technocracy is, and these little self-propelled traitors, these trendies that totally trust the system and are as dumb as the day is long. Literally, most of them in Austin said, ban cars the day after because it's the car's fault. You understand that? It's not the car's fault. It's not the butcher's knife's fault. It's not the baseball bat's fault. Just like I told Piers Morgan, when the women getting raped with the iron rods in India, it's not the iron rod's fault. But see, if they can make it the fault of that, they can take your right to have a butcher knife or to have a baseball bat or to have a car. And they're going to do it with the technocracy. If you think I'm joking, just search South by Southwest trendies want to ban cars. And they want them banned. They want them banned now. They'll probably get them banned. Because they are the rulers of Earth. The dumbest are the people that the government sits there and empowers to run our lives while the elite fly around in private jets. British doctors call for ban on long kitchen knives to end stabbings. Yes, yes, because somebody can't take a piece of sheet metal and make a knife. I mean, this is how it works, ladies and gentlemen. Now, continuing here, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a very important article dealing with what's happening over in the Middle East and other areas. This is out of Bloomberg, and they report on this with great horror. Putin defies Obama in Syria as arms fuel Assad resurgence. And they imply it's terrible Assad the evil one has taken over. Now, Assad the evil one was attacked 3+ years ago by NATO forces backing Al-Qaeda. And then the Russians backed him up to keep their only deep water port there in the Mediterranean. And so the headline should be Putin helps sovereign nation battle Western Al-Qaeda forces. President Vladimir Putin, condemned by NATO for annexing Crimea, is now defying the U.S. and Syria by sending more and deadlier arms to help Bashar Assad score a string of advances against insurgents, military experts say. Assad's army, seeking to end a 3-year civil war that's killed 150,000, no, it's a proxy war started by the West that killed 150,000 people and displaced 9 million, started using longer-range Russian Smerch and Ergon rockets for the first time in February, according to Jane's Defense Weapons and Stratfor, a U.S. geopolitical research company. Syria has also intensified the use of MiG G-29 fighter jets with ground attack capabilities, citing analysis and video footage. Well, we could tell you that and watch the video, yeah. Russia is now doing everything to ensure that Assad wins convincingly, said a Middle Eastern analyst with Moscow Carnegie Center by phone. If Russia can show it's capable of carrying out its own foreign policy, regardless of American wishes, it will be a major achievement for Putin. Then it goes on to say Congress is approving additional stuff, and, you know, we've got to stop Russia. Oh, they're so Russia is being surrounded, ladies and gentlemen. We lose the moral high ground funding Al-Qaeda. Because there is no we. It's the globalists that have hijacked America, using our name, our treasure, to back Al-Qaeda, blowing up churches and raping women.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we got a constitutional law professor joining us in the next segment to look at the annexation of Crimea, but tying that into how the globalists, they go in and break up countries and then have annexation happen into zones they control, but then if anybody else actually tries to self-determine, they try to stop that. So this is a very important issue. Talking about Texas secession and a lot more coming up in the next segment. Again, we've been telling you about this for years. It is now in the Times of London. And they're reporting it like it's a straight face. The headline should be, outrage, British government goes full authoritarian. You've got members of parliament, you've got members of the executive branch, you've got members like the mayor of London calling for basically arresting conservative and libertarian parents and taking their kids because they can't deal with the opposition. They are authoritarians. Well, this is the calm headline. Crackdown ordered on climate change skeptics. Crackdown. And they report that like that's normal. The headline should be, is England falling into total authoritarianism? No. It's in the news all the time. Arrest climate deniers. Arrest Lord Monckton. Oh, yes, let's just arrest him because he's been proven right. And now they admit the earth is cooling. And they admit, I mean, we've got all these serious environmental issues, and it doesn't matter. We've got to sit there and turn over our whole society to these people and let them tax everything and control our lives and ban wood stoves because they're saving us from carbon dioxide. Ministers who question the majority view, which is not a majority view, but talk about like some kind of cult Soviet thing. Those that question the majority view will be disappeared. Ministers who question the majority view among scientists about climate change should shut up and instead repeat the government line on the issue, according to members of parliament. The BBC should also give less airtime to climate skeptics, and its editors should seek special clearance to interview them. According to Common Science and Technology Committee, Andrew Miller, the committee's labor chairman, said that appearances on radio and television by climate skeptics, such as Lord Lawson, I want to get him on, the former chancellor of the Exchequer, should be accompanied by health warnings. Oh, really? Like Al Gore's film got stopped showing to the British kids and the UK kids because it said polar bears couldn't swim? Stuff like that? I mean, these people are a fraud. But when it comes out they're a fraud, they just say, you know what? We're going to not let you have any free speech. And this is a serious article introducing the idea. We have other articles where they're openly calling for arrest. Mr. Miller linked climate skeptics to a monster raving loony party, whatever that means, and then it goes on. So there is the ongoing demonization. It's like Jesse Ventura in the band FEMA special that I basically consulted and almost produced. I mean, I just did the whole research and, of course, was in it. I'm just proud of the fact that they banned the one episode that I had my hands completely in. Because most of the episodes I just got interviewed and gave some consulting. That one, I basically helped them do all the research, travel all over the country with them, and they banned it after it aired one time and pulled it off the TiVos. And he goes into the congressman and he says, yeah, this bill to expand the FEMA camps, the Emergency Centers Establishment Act. And the guy went, there is no bill. And he was obviously lying, Tennessee congressman. And then he goes, well, I got a copy of it right here. You wrote it. He goes, oh, that bill. I say, sounding like the foghorn leghorn. But before that, he goes, I see, Governor, you believe that space aliens are going to come down out of the sky and eat me too. And put on like this fake southerner accent. Jesse goes, no, I mean, the bill you sponsored. He goes, there is no bill. And he hands him the bill and he goes, oh, I declare that bill.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Days grow shorter and the nights are getting long. Feels like we're running out of time. Every day much harder to tell it right from wrong. You've got to read between the lines. Don't get discouraged. Don't be afraid. We can make it through another day. Make it worth the price we pay.
Fighting the good fight, my friends. Robert Blecker is our guest, a Harvard Law School graduate, criminal law professor at New York Law School, and he joins us. He's formerly prosecuted corruption in New York's criminal justice system as a special assistant attorney general and has been the sole keynote speaker supporting the death penalty at several major conferences around the globe. He is also the author of The Death of Punishment, Searching for Justice Among the Worst of the Worst. He's with us for the next two segments. We'll probably get him back on the death penalty subject down the road. We just had former Congressman Ron Paul on in the last hour, who's written articles pointing out that you've got secession in Catalonia, Spain. You've got secession in Venice. You've got secession in Scotland. You've got Texas secession from Mexico, the colony secession from England. You've got South Sudan. But the West, the powers that be, support it if they're having somebody secede to their power block. But then Crimea, that's always been part of Russia in most cases in history, originally part of Russia, they secede. NATO and the EU grab 90% of the country, and they spin it around like Russia is starting something here, and they're starting a new Cold War. The truth is corporate interests run the EU, and we've talked a lot about that, and they want to be able to take over Eastern Europe for their own corporate Soviet Union, I'd call it. I mean, look what they're doing in Greece and all these other countries, appointing the presidents. In Italy. I mean, this is the technocratic takeover in their own words. But I thought it was important to actually get a constitutional professor on. And I mean, I've seen a bunch of constitutional professors on the left, right, the center. They're all saying, of course, this is a legitimate secession. But I wanted to talk about Ukraine and then expand it into larger issues of secession. They claim Texas, because it opted in by treaty, is the only state that could, without even getting the government, the federal government to allow it, could leave the union. But the way I read the Constitution Bill of Rights, I believe any of the states could secede if they wanted to. Doesn't mean I'm calling for secession, but this is a way people self-determine. So Robert Blecker, an expert on secession, joins us, and Bloomberg also picked up some of his reports getting into that. American constitutional history professor, Crimean secession from Ukraine is valid. And we've got an article up on Infowars.com dealing with that from George Washington's blog. So, Professor, thanks for coming on. Where should we tackle this first?
Thanks for having me, Alex. I think we should tackle this from a perspective of punishment, because I think part of what's driving American foreign policy right now towards Russia is this feeling that we need to punish Russia. We need to punish Putin. And then the question becomes, why do we need to punish Russia and why do we need to punish Putin? Well, standardly, I mean, if you look at the justifications for punishment, one of them, and perhaps the only valid one here, if there is one, is deterrence, that we sense that this is just the opening move in a gambit that he means to play in a wider field, and that he starts with Crimea, then he moves to eastern Ukraine, and then he moves on and on toward Europe. And I understand that argument, and none of us are naive, and none of us forget Hitler. I'm not saying Putin is Hitler, and I think none of us really trust him. I heard your segment with Ron Paul, and he correctly said he's no angel. But let's put deterrence to the side, and let's look at the other principal justification for punishment, which is what I think is really motivating the American public to support these sanctions against Russia. And that is that somehow they cheated at the Constitution game, that they've put themselves in opposition of fundamental American constitutional values, and that therefore they deserve to be punished. And if you look at American constitutional history, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, you mentioned some of it, but you left out one big piece of it. Not only did the colonies secede from the British Empire, and not only did they justify that secession in the Declaration of Independence in 1776, in which they said that the only legitimate basis for government is the full consent and the real consent of the people, which, whenever withdrawn, delegitimizes that government. But the thing that's widely overlooked is we fought the American Revolution under the Articles of Confederation, which was our first constitution. Now, the Articles of Confederation said of itself that it was to be a perpetual union and that it was only to be amended on the unanimous agreement of the states. And then we had the Philadelphia Convention, because it depends upon your view of what motivated that convention. It could be economic interest and self-interest and power grabs, or it could be a legitimate problem with the Articles. But whichever it is, the fact is that out of Philadelphia, we reported a document that would go into effect when 9 states only agreed to it. This is in direct contravention to the Constitution under which we were operating that said, A, no changes without unanimous agreement of the states, and B, that said of itself that it was to be a perpetual union. So when we ratified the Constitution, or rather when 9 states ratified the Constitution, what were they doing? They were seceding from the United States of America. And when the 10th state ratified the Constitution, it was not only seceding, but it was essentially being annexed by the other 9. Almost instantaneously with its secession. Now, no more than 11 states ever appeared in Philadelphia at the same time. And we may forget, but if we look back to our history, we'll see that all 13 states did not ratify the Constitution immediately. Rhode Island never sent representatives and refused to ratify. North Carolina initially refused to ratify. So at one point, we had a union of 11 states, and the other 2 could properly say to the 11, you've seceded from the Union. And then I can go on, and presumably we will in our conversation, but we tend to associate secession with the South and with slavery. And nothing could be further from the truth. It was the Northern leaders that were pushing secession immediately. At first, when the Louisiana Purchase presented us the opportunity of having new states made from that, Northern leaders threatened to secede. And then in the unpopular war up north, the War of 1812 with England, the New England states met in Hartford, Connecticut, with a Hartford Convention, with a threat of secession. And then later when Texas joined the Union, again, there was a Northern threat of secession. But the point is not whether the secession was right or wrong, but the fact was it was unquestionably part of the constitutional conversation, and it has been traditionally part of fundamental American constitutional values. So if we look to punish Russia because somehow they deserve it because they've engaged this in this anti-American, anti-constitutional move by seceding or by impelling Crimea to secede, we're wrong. Now, you know, we can get into it. There are problems with the referendum that Russia held, or that in theory Crimea held, and problems in terms of it conflicting with basic American values, but not secession itself.
Very well said, Professor, and expanding on this, I'm just a layman, but I have read the Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalist Papers. I've studied world history in a wide, you know, swath, and this is a self-determination that we see over and over again and have carried out by the majority of the people, has always been seen as legitimate, as, you know, really a veto over larger political units. But just from a layman's term, a few years ago, I called for a new Declaration of Independence, not to get rid of the old republic. You know, as the Declaration of Independence says, we can make new forms to secure our liberties. It's our right and our duty. If we have special interest in others in the district of criminals that have taken over and are in their own revolution seceding from America and bringing in a tyranny over us, then what about the states convening to then announce that we're abolishing the bureaucracy or abolishing, you know, sections of the federal government, or abolishing the whole thing, whatever gets voted on, to then re-upload the old republic in a kind of secession as a way to point out that we've had our federal government hijacked. I had a bunch of constitutional lawyers on, like Edwin Vieira and others, and they agreed with me, and Ron Paul agreed, but they quantified it more in legalese. It just seems like, you know, people say secede. Well, couldn't we secede to restore the republic? Because clearly this isn't the republic we've got operating right now.
Well, we don't need to secede. There are two processes for amending the United States Constitution. One is the one that we've always engaged in, which is to have two-thirds of each branch of Congress approve the amendment, then submit it to the states and have it approved by majorities in three-fourths of the state legislatures. But the Constitution provides for another way of amending itself, which can circumvent Congress itself. And that is, if two-thirds of the states call for a new constitutional convention, then it can propose amendments, which, again, would be ratified by majorities in three-fourths of the states.
Sure.
So that you can circumvent the national government and still amend the United States Constitution. We've not done it before, but we can do it. So we don't need secession in that respect.
No, I understand. I get so scared of a con, but I guess a overall secession movement and a new federation would be just as dangerous. But and I've always been against a con, but I guess we get to the point of we're in so much trouble. Do you think our republic is off the rails, or what's your view on that?
Well, you and I may not have the identical politics here, although we probably have the identical view of history. I mean, I'm appalled at federal overreach, as I know you are. There are areas with which I fundamentally disagree with Ron Paul in terms of the legitimate role of defense and the importance of it and the requirement for us to remain a free people, to be a strong people in order to be a free people, and that strength must reach outside of our borders. So we may not have identical views on that.
No, I understand that. But when we come back then, Professor, explain, you know, to me your view on then, as a constitutional lawyer and a guy that's worked in the federal government as well, where we're at historically compared to Rome, say. I mean, it's similar but not close when it comes to the modern technology. We'll be right back with our guest. His website's robertblecker.com. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, I want to have Professor Robert Blecker back on for the full hour to have a death penalty debate sometime. I support the death penalty if, you know, you got 100 witnesses in the village that somebody killed a kid for no reason. You know, the village would just all agree we're going to kill this guy and go hang him. The problem is the system's been so corrupt that then can you trust a corrupt system to carry out the death penalty? And I know I beg the question because then we're talking about secession, but briefly, where do you stand on that quandary with the death penalty?
Well, I've spent thousands of hours inside maximum security prisons and on death rows in seven states, interviewing the killers and the officers who house them and interact with them, and have fairly extensively studied the system. There's no doubt that it's flawed, and there's no doubt that it can and should be improved. I mean, the book that's my Crime and Punishment memoir that's just been published, The Death of Punishment, goes into various improvements we can make and various problems with the system. But overall, for the worst of the worst of the worst, for those, for example, who rape and torture children, for the serial killers, for the hired killers, when we can identify them, when we are persuaded beyond a reasonable doubt, with no residual doubt that they did it, and to a moral certainty that they deserve it, then it seems to me we have the moral obligation to execute them.
We'll have a discussion about that, because I agree with you at a fundamental level. It's just that, again, I don't support North Korea's death penalty because the government is the criminal institution. So we begin to drift towards that area of, you know, I support the death penalty. I wouldn't support it under Adolf Hitler.
Well, of course, that's very interesting. It's the same kind of argument in the slippery slope, which can take us back to what you were saying earlier that I wanted to comment on. In terms of self-determination, it's been a problem since the very founding of the republic. How far do you take it? So if we establish, and I fully believe, and I think history establishes it beyond any doubt, American constitutional history, that the Constitution was a compact among the states, where the states are understood not in the states as governments, as legislatures, but as the people residing in them, that each state compacted to be part of the union, acceded to the union, and therefore each state may secede from the union.
That's right. The states made, they're the mommy and the daddy. They made it.
That's correct. Now, the question comes, how far do you take that? May a county secede from a state? May a town secede from a county? May a village secede from a town? May a neighborhood secede from a village? May a block secede from a neighborhood? May an individual secede from all of it? It's the challenge of the slippery slope. Is there something sacred, constitutionally sacred, about the people of each individual state in their highest sovereign capacity that does not get replicated as you get to more and more particular levels? Because if not, then, of course, we're left with the with a notion of the social contract in which each individual is allowed to contract in or contract out anytime that he or she sees sure. fit, in which case we lose the distinction between a law-abiding citizen and a criminal.
Well, bottom line, looking at this, from my research, the Crimean annexation is pretty clean and legitimate, 97% plus voted to do it. I mean, it looks asinine from my view to have the so-called U.S. government, a.k.a. Obama administration, that helped start this whole thing with the State Department there, act like Russia is involved in some Hitlerian expansion.
That's true. However, something should be said in terms of American constitutional values. There were two respects in which that referendum fell critically short by our values, and we should acknowledge it. Number one is that it was not the product of a free and full deliberation. Now, Putin was smart enough not to make it a legislative act on the part of Crimea, because one thing American constitutional values stand for clearly is that secession cannot be a legislative act, because if the legislature secedes or accedes to
it. But it was a snap vote.
That's part of it. That's right. It was not done after full and fair deliberation, A, and B, it was done where dissent was silenced, and it was done where the military, Russian military, was occupying it. So it fails in those two respects. Now, if we look back at our own constitutional ratification process, we also were far from perfect. If a full free vote were taken, for example, of the people of Massachusetts, Massachusetts would have rejected the Constitution in 1788, as would New York have, as would Virginia have. In part, we manipulated it, but the people in power with wealth in the cities. However, by our standards, the Russian secession, the Russian annexation falls far short. The Crimean secession falls far short. It was exactly what you said. It was a snap decision. 97% is not accurate. You're right. That's what the poll said. But 97% does not reflect the will of the Crimean people. However, both you and I believe, and I'm quite confident that we're correct, that if it were put to a full, fair vote, after serious deliberation, the overwhelming majority of the Crimean people would choose to secede from Ukraine and rejoin Russia.
Plus, so Professor, if you look at the fact that the NATO back group overthrew the rest of the thing, that's so illegitimate that the two, I think, cancel each other out. What's your view on that?
Well, yes, I think that's largely
well,
I'll tell you
what, come back and do two more minutes to finish the thought, and then we'll let the professor go and get into the other news. Stay with us. I want to finish that thought, Professor. Thank you. RobertBlecker.com. I'm Alex Jones.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, we're here live. Back weeknight, 7 o'clock Central, InfoWars Nightly News, with myself, Jakari Jackson, Leanne McAdoo, David Knight, Darren McBreen, and many others like Kit Daniels. And we continue to go to the press conferences, ask the real questions like we did at the Fort Hood shooting press conference last night, an hour and a half north of Austin. We'll talk about that after our guest leaves here in a moment. Robert Blecker, again, is a constitutional lawyer, also worked as a federal prosecutor, a special assistant attorney general, and he joins us. His new book is The Death of Punishment, Searching for Justice Among the Worst of the Worst. I want to get him on about that, just to talk about the kind of folks that are in these supermaxes. I've seen some documentaries, and man, you talk about just savage, whacked out murderers. A lot of them, I think, are just completely mentally ill, but at the same time, you would put a rabid pit bull to sleep that attacks people anytime it gets around them. I see the whole point when everybody knows that they're a murderer. But we'll have that discussion another time. I'm already going back over old ground. Finishing up with the issue of how the West and NATO and EU came in, spent $5 billion, the State Department admits, basically overthrew the elected government, who nobody's saying were angels, but overthrew it, took most of the country, put in actual neo-Nazis that that march around heiling Hitler. I mean, this is like a Twilight Zone episode. So juxtapose American values. How does Obama and the State Department get away with lionizing the Ukrainian leadership? Because I know there's a lot of good Ukrainians don't like the government was there and don't like the Russian influence. I get that. But this is so over the top from researching the players. I'm pinching myself, Professor.
Well, here's what I would do. I mean, if I were Obama, what I would do is, and probably through the Secretary of State, or if I had direct conversations with Putin, as he apparently is having, I would say, look, insofar as our constitutional values are at stake, here's really what we demand. Crimea should have a full and fair discussion. Crimea should have a convention that represents the people of Crimea and then put it to a vote. And you're probably going to win it. Now, the next move is going to be about Eastern Ukraine and Western Ukraine and whether they can split, because I have very little doubt that Putin and Russia has its eyes on Eastern Ukraine and see whether it can join Russia and whether they want to. And there the question is whether the Ukrainian people really are legitimately a coherent people or whether they conceive of themselves as distinct societies. And the troubling question is, if you put that to a full and fair discussion through elected representatives through the West and the Eastern Ukraine, would A, the people of Ukraine considered as one people vote to split apart? Remember, Czechoslovakia split into the Czech Republic and Slovakia, and nobody's quarreling with that legitimate split into two republics. So the deep issue is really going to be, the deep constitutional issue that implicates our values is, will we all put it to a full and fair vote, and will we allow Eastern Ukraine to separately vote from Western Ukraine as to whether they separate? And if Western Ukraine says we want one nation and Eastern Ukraine says we want to join Russia, then what do you do? And so what it may all boil down to is what Thucydides brilliantly described in the Melian debates in the Peloponnesian Wars 27 centuries ago, when the poor little island of Melos just asked to remain independent and be kept out of the war between Athens and Sparta. And Athens gave them two choices, which was either submit or die. And the Melians complained and said that was unjust. And the Athenian representatives replied, justice depends upon the equality of power to compel. The strong do what they can. The weak accept what they must. And that's maybe what it all comes down to.
That's right. Political power grows out of a barrel of a gun.
Yep.
And that's why the state wants the monopoly of force. And that's why I obsess over guns all day, is because they're the canary in the coal mine. Also, free speech is the canary in the coal mine. And we're seeing more and more moves to block religious freedom, all sorts of freedom in this country. We're seeing moves in England to ban questioning man-made global warming. I see the West. Professor, last question. Do you see the West? I certainly see it, undoubtedly, degenerating on many fronts into an authoritarianism. And A, do you agree with that? And B, can we reverse that?
B is yes, we can reverse it. I don't think it's uniformly degenerating. I think there are pockets of real problems, and it's authoritarian. I mean, I have a real problem, for example, with the federal overreach into the criminal justice system. The essence of state sovereignty was from the very beginning the right to define, detect, prosecute, and punish crime as each state sees fit. The federal government has used the limited federal criminal power and is just occupying the field. You know, if we talk, and I assume we will have a follow-up, we talk about the Boston Marathon bomber, who I would like to see executed. Nevertheless, he really committed mass murder on the state level. And if Massachusetts chooses not to have the death penalty, well, that's Massachusetts' right. So I'm deeply conflicted, because on the one hand, I want him killed. On the other hand, I don't quite see the constitutional right to do it. So to directly answer your question, I mean, yes, I think we have serious problems. I think we've lost sight of the common good. That is to say, in 1788, whatever their differences were, and they were profound politically, the Federalists versus the Anti-Federalists, they fundamentally embraced the notion of the common good. And right now, it seems to me that it's much more about private greed than it is about the common good. Too many people trying to grab for power, too many people trying to feather their own nests. So I do see that the system is becoming corrupted by selfishness. I do not think it's irreversible. I have deep faith in constitutional values. And the last thing I would say is that even though I declared as in real politic, as you do, that power grows out of the barrel of a gun, The fact is, power is also restrained in certain key respects within the military, within the police. It's restrained by constitutionalism.
Oh, I agree. And it's also restrained, as you said, by the establishment itself and elites that in many cases have gotten there by hard work to keep checks and balances to protect their progeny. And it's very unwise, even for a corrupt establishment, to get rid of the checks and balances. And it always ends up biting them in the butt if they do it. So I challenge the establishment itself, which is very diverse, to really try to reverse this authoritarian move, because they're not in control of this genie that they're releasing out of the bottle.
You know, I forgot who it was who said it, but if you really want to understand your own politics, someone once said, probe deeply and ask yourself if you had only two choices, which was to live in an anarchy or to live under a tyranny, which would you prefer? And of course, neither one of us and none of us want either a tyranny or an anarchy. But for me, and I'm sure for you, if I had to have one or the other, I'd prefer anarchy to tyranny.
That's right.
And that's really ultimately what it comes down to. Are we fundamentally about liberty or are we fundamentally about power? Are we fundamentally about freedom or are we fundamentally about control? You are fundamentally about freedom. I am fundamentally about freedom. We may have different visions, and our politics are by far are not by any means identical. But ultimately, what we have in common is that we prefer liberty to control.
Absolutely. All right, Professor. Look forward to having you back on as soon as you want to come back on in the next few weeks about the death penalty. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Well, that was a good interview. Very informative. And again, I'm not going to get into debates about the Boston bombing and how the brother was funded by the CIA and stuff. There's compelling evidence from the perspective that these guys were set up as patsies, bare minimum. And then that's why he says there's compelling evidence, you know, he was involved. I know that the survivor is saying he was set up as pleading not guilty. But that's a further debate. And we'll bring that up next time he's on and get into those issues. And we're going to have reporters at the second, the first anniversary, but at the new Boston Marathon after last year. We're going to be there this year. Covering that, I want to give you my review of the film Noah, and then I want to open the phones up just for a little spectrum of calls from people at Fort Hood. Fort Hood is a giant military base, the biggest in the world, arguably. There's one Russian one they say maybe bigger. It definitely has more personnel than any other military base in the world. I know we have a ton of listeners at Fort Hood, listening on the internet and also on AM radio. So I'd like to open the phones up for people at Fort Hood. I think this was a real shooting. The guy was on drugs, government-prescribed drugs, that caused this, just like in almost every other case. I say almost every other. I can't think of cases, and I did research this morning and couldn't find them, where people weren't on these drugs. And so I want to hear from folks at the Fort Hood military base and to get your take on it. It's 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And if you're scrambling to get a pen to write that down, if you're at Fort Hood, 800-259-9231. You know, we did play a clip off the news of somebody that uploaded to YouTube of shelter in place, do not leave your homes, when this guy was shooting people yesterday evening in front of a bunch of witnesses. It looks pretty open and shut. Again, they're not out of the gates trying to blame the Second Amendment and stuff. So you know when it's scripted and staged because it's just all lined up and they're ready to go, like Sandy Hook and Aurora. And then the same players pop up, the same actors, the same garbage. And it's just so over the top, I don't know how to respond to it. But maybe I'm wrong. If you're at the base and disagree with me or you've got something you want to add, I'd like to hear from you. 800-259-9231. And, guys, I see the phone system's not on. So, okay, great. All right, so reboot that system for me. Thank you. All right, there we go. 800, if you tried to call in, the phone system was off. 800-259-9231. We'll get you up and on the air. Okay, maybe I should go do a special report on this. This is such a big subject, and then air it maybe Sunday. That way I can really give you the quotes and really go over it properly. Because I said I'd cover it now, and then it's such a big subject that let me just give you a little hors d'oeuvre on this front. I went and saw the movie Noah last night. I thought it was very weird, very interesting film. I would probably see it again just to take notes. I don't know if I liked it. It was definitely thought-provoking. It overall, for the general unwashed masses, had an anti-human, eugenics-based, environmental fascist bent. That meat eating is bad, that humans are hurting the earth, which from perspectives you can say that's true. You can say there's too many people in some areas. You can say humans are destructive. That's all honest. We do some bad things. My dog can also, urinate on the rug, but I love him. So there are problems. But the idea that we're ugly, we're bad, we should all die, that's the message sold. In the Bible, if you read and I've got the Bible verses here, if you read what it says in the first few books of the Bible, it was because genetically humans had sex with the Nephilim and had been with the sons of men. And their genetics was not pure. Noah was the only one pure in their generations. And the movie has space aliens, basically fallen angels who've been punished by the Creator into becoming earth spirits instead of fire spirits. And it's very New Agey and occult. And they're not really fallen angels. They helped man and gave man knowledge. And man was like a spirit as well. I mean, I'm spoiler alert here, obviously. And I don't think it's biblically accurate. But it's a lot more accurate than what you get in some mainline Catholic church or Baptist church, where people in the last 300 years just can't deal with what's in the Bible. I mean, in Ezekiel, there's giant burning flying saucers with guys with crystal helmets walking off of them and stuff. I mean, there's 14-foot, sons of the angels having sex with women. So God destroys all the humans on the earth. And you could say, well, is this real? Is this not real? Well, the point is you can't sit there and say you believe the Bible. And then like these preachers say, well, that's an interpretation or that's an allegory. But then the same preachers will tell you the whole Bible's literal. Nothing's an allegory unless they say it's an allegory. Because they can't deal with what's in the Bible. But look at what the elite's doing today, trying to change the genetics of humans, trying to cross us with animals, trying to defile the genetics. This is going on today. So it's just very interesting how everything in the Bible just keeps happening over and over again. What you see John talk about on the Isle of Patmos is happening now. The Bible's profound, folks. You just cannot deny it. So I went and saw the movie Noah, and I would say that it's very well done. It's got a pro-human bent from Cain, where Cain, is all about men's will and building things, so he's bad. That is not the biblical representation of Cain. And it really demonizes libertarian ideas. But I think the makers of the film meant well. I mean, it had some good messages overall. The Nephilim were the offspring of sons of God and daughters of men, according to Genesis 6:4, and giants who inhabited Canaan, according to Numbers 13:33, a similar biblical Hebrew word with different vowel sounds used in Ezekiel 32:27 to refer to dead Philistine warriors. Well, that was the word, as some of the Philistines had the bloodline of Cain, and so they were like 12 feet tall. And this is in the Roman histories as well, folks. And you look at some of the people like in Slovakia and Serbia, the average person is like 6'4". So, a lot of this could just be, more legends or whatever. I'm not even sitting here saying that, but then the preachers can't have it both ways and say it's legends, but then it's not legends. You see what I'm saying? And then it just goes over the giants. And that's basically in the movie. Now, it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land and the daughters were born to them that the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful. See, the sons of God were the bloodline that God didn't want to destroy. Then there were the daughters of men. And they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also in flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years before men were living longer, if you believe the Bible. So the genetics also degraded. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, where the sons of God came in the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. They were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. The second in Numbers 13, 32, 33, NAS, where the 12 spies report on the fearsome giants. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land where they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying out, and the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in them were of giant size. They also, we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. And we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And it just goes on. So that's what it deals with, and it's a very interesting movie. But the overall message for the dumbos out there is humans are bad, and humans destroy everything, and you know, cities are bad, and science is, you know, technology is bad, and Noah almost kills the two daughters that are born. Because he thinks God wants humans to be removed from the earth. And it's kind of like Bill Gates is the new Noah, and he's doing what he has to do to remove the scourge from the planet Earth of those that are not pure. So it's the same old story, eugenics. Everything is eugenics. Plato, 3,000 years ago, or a little less, it was all about kill almost everybody but the elite. I mean, this is what governs the debate. So whether you believe it's true or not, the point is it's the debate going back 6,000 years. It's what goes on. It's what's discussed. This is what the elite talk about. We talk about it. We'll be right back.
While the unions are big businessmen, and they're going out like a dinosaur. While they used to grow food in Kansas, then they want to grow it on the moon and eat it raw.
Sundown on the Union. All right, I'm doing a little bit of overdrive to talk to Joe in Colorado, was a Columbine survivor, wants to talk about the shooting. And then Brian, previously attended Fort Hood, was a teacher. We can always get calls from Fort Hood, except if I ask for them. If you are at Fort Hood, want to give us your take on the shooting, 800-259-9231. Briefly here, folks, we are listener supported. The great videos, books, pro-gun t-shirts, high-quality supplements, everything available at InfoWarsStore.com is what funds this operation. We try to bring you the very best cutting-edge products. Shop with the good guys. The new April magazine is out about the war on women. Great to give the women in your lives or women that are being brainwashed by the system. You can buy them in bulk at cost. InfoWarsStore.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. And by the way, I didn't take a full week off for a spring break, but I'm taking a day here, a day there to be with my children. David Knight's going to be doing the show tomorrow and Sunday. And after that, I'll be back for a long time, not taking time off. But I'm going to go shoot special reports that are going to premiere tomorrow and on Sunday as well. So it's going to be some really power-packed transmissions, and David does a great job. So that's coming up. But I want to thank all of you for your support and making the transmission possible. For myself, my family, and all the freedom lovers out there, I salute the info warriors out there for spreading the word and financially supporting us by buying the high-quality products at InfoWarsStore.com. Let's go to Joe in Colorado, was a Columbine survivor. What is your take on all this?
My take on what's going on right now, basically, everything you're saying is correct. These drugs are just warping people's minds. And it's just got to, somebody's got to say something and get the word out about this, because it's getting out of hand. I've seen it happen in my own community. We had the tragedy here on 420. I was a student there that day. I was in the cafeteria when it happened. And
wow.
You know, I got out of there alive, and it's just been a battle ever since. I've been on a lot of medicines myself, and I've seen what they can do, and they're just really toxic and deadly for your system.
Well, the inserts say that. I mean, it's not like it's even a mystery. And what do you think of the press conference that none of the media was going to ask if they were on drugs, so our reporters did?
Well, they've already, it's a pattern that they've already established. You know, Columbine, I've seen the media just bombard the school and the students and everybody. And I think since then, that's kind of a blueprint for how they go along with everything else that they report up to this point. It's just that they don't care about the people that are hurt by this. They don't care about the people later on in the community that have to deal with the scars. And I have so many people I know that commit suicide. after Columbine. There's so many other people that were lost after the tragedy.
Oh, I know. It's been terrible. Well, take Ambien. It says it makes you sleepwalk, kill people, not know who you are. And the guy was bare minimum on that. Go ahead. Sorry.
Alex, I got a buddy that just got locked up in the mental hospital, believe it or not, because he's a bipolar, and he's, you know, he wouldn't hurt a hair on your head. He's the kindest person you'd ever meet, but they got him on all these drugs. They got him on lithium right now.
Oh, boy.
And it's just frying his brain, and I can see it. His hand's shaking. He can't talk very well anymore, and he got out of there, and he's still depressed, and, you know, I'm just sticking with him, but I gave him all the information.
Well, I'm not his doctor, but the statistics are there. He needs to get to a people's pharmacy type facility. He needs to get to one of those compounding pharmacists with herbs and stuff. And the herbs in double-blind studies are the only way to go off these drugs. Once they put you on the drugs, they're very addictive, and people have got to replace it with something. We're going to be right back in Overdrive. We're going to talk to Brian straight ahead. It's Brian in California, previously attended Fort Hood.
Visit GCNlive.com today.
Big Brother. Mainstream media.
Yeah, just fade down the intro.
Cover-ups. You want answers?
I want to go to as many of these calls as I can, but I got to read the comments on the Infowars.com story that's up on DrudgeReport.com. Ambien isn't an SSRI. It's a sleeping pill, you tinfoil beheaded deep bleepers. That's Captain Gonzo. Peter Pounder says, shut the you up, you idiot, and go back to reading your comic books while the adults try to have a discussion. And then he gives a generic name of the drug that he was on. And it says that it's a sedative hypnotic. That's right. The Ambien is in the psychotropic sedative hypnotic class. It's worse than most psychotropics. And then the next person says, you utter ignorant slave. The U.S. Army has stated he was on a cocktail of drugs for depression and sleep disorders. The Ambien was for the sleep disorder. The SSRI for depression. Now go suck on your government. You know what? So I love how folks counter the folks that go, you're a tinfoil. I mean, Ambien, the insert says, can make you a murdering zombie. And I'm sick of people that go, tinfoil, conspiracy, when we're informed. Like, that makes you an intellectual giant. So I'm glad folks are countering you with links to what the drug does. I mean, Ambien is horrible, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of people can take it safely, but it doesn't matter. It's Russian roulette. And they've got checkpoints to stop drunk drivers. I mean, compared to this stuff, it's nothing. Let's talk to Brian, previously attended Fort Hood, and then Dylan, cousin currently in Fort Hood. Last two calls. Brian, tell us what happened.
Hi, Alex. Basically, I was there teaching a class with the Air Force, and I left a day before the attack happened. It was really surreal, you know, to see the president there a couple days later, right next to where I was going every day for 2 weeks.
You're talking about the shooting with Major Hassan?
Yes, that shooting.
Mm-hmm.
There was a video showing him going into a 7-Eleven. I went into that 7-Eleven every morning to get coffee, so... And I taught a lot of guys there, so I was really worried about how they were doing. But I know firsthand, and you're exactly right with the drugs, you know, that they're feeding they're not fixing the issue. They're not looking at the issue. They're just throwing pills at these troops, thinking it's going to make them, it's going to fix the problem. But that's not the problem. These guys are deploying a lot. They're under a lot of pressure with work. The force is shrinking. Everybody's worried about their jobs. And pills aren't the answer. They're making it worse.
A lot of the military I've talked to here on air, people I know, friends of mine, who were in the regular army, you name it, they throw regular drugs, opiates at them to get them addicted, to control them. I mean, it's crazy.
I would believe that. And, I mean, I was given that sleeping pill you were talking about, Ambien. On some deployments for sleep, and some people would even get the stronger version called Restorol. And there's the pill popping culture, you know.
It's sick. And then meanwhile, there's a war on drugs, when all these pharmaceuticals are even worse. Thanks for your information, sir. Last caller, Dylan, cousin, currently in Fort Hood, locked down yesterday. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a Facebook message from my cousin's wife. She had to stay in her house, you know, like you said, and he couldn't even get across the base to her, I guess, while this guy's going on this rampage on the Ambien sleep aids. I got a few friends that are on those. I definitely wouldn't get on those. But yeah, Alex, you're a real hero.
Oh no, I'm not. I just want my freedom. I'm just a sane guy trying to bail here. You know, trying to get water out of the boat.
Trying to fight the info war up here in Iowa. But yeah, that's all I got.
All right, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. We'll have more, obviously, as it develops on the nightly news on this issue and a lot of others, 7 o'clock Central this evening. If you're not an InfoWarsNews.com subscriber, become one today. That's what helps finance so much of this operation. PrisonPlanet.tv, of course, is the original site name. It really works really good now and has all the films and books and other documentaries and special events. PrisonPlanet.tv, you're funding the tip of the spear in the alternative media with the great crew we've got. And again, great job to the entire crew. Everybody in this entire operation, from the administrative folks, the customer service, to the reporters, to the video editors, to just everybody, and to the folks in here running the live radio show every day. That's the most stressful, focused part of the job around here. To Buckley Hammond, who helped me start InfoWars 19 years ago. Actually, 22 years ago when I got out of high school, he started helping me. He's here now working with us full-time as well.